and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turner. I'm here with Sean Bell.
Hello.
Matt Murray.
You're right.
Returning to the podcast, which is something I've said far too many times. It's James Farley.
Hello.
We'll deal with you in a minute. We'd like to start the show by thanking our Patreon producers this month. They are Aaron Patrick, the QuickBooks chap, Simon Nelson, Moomin Biscuit, Trans Rights are Human Rights, Dave Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gasman, Rocketman76, Smooth Monkey, Richard Sawyer, John Tempelli, Jackie Sniper, Sam Hickton, Tom S, Stan, Philip with an F, Fred Fenge, Steve the Nuke Littler, Cutty, Steve Lee, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Man, and Tri-State. They are the full Nels crew, and we love each and every one of them. They are supporting the show to the max, and you can join them by going to patreon.com/TCGS. Too rich for you? The full Nels crew too rich for you? No worries. There's different tiers there. You can watch us this month. We've got a bonus show planned where we're going to be talking about all sorts of crazy things. Is that a good advert?
Yeah, that's great. Update on my thumbnail.
Oh, we do.
Update on the thumbnail.
Yep.
Also, we've got the
Timu.
Which started off as something nice to do for our 400th episode / 8th birthday. It was like, oh, let's buy each other gifts. But they've got to be from what I now know is one of the worst shops in the history.
Do you not enjoy shopping like a billionaire, Dave?
I love the fact that when I didn't know this, I asked Joe orders stuff from Timu, and it's always like, this is shit. This is just shit that's going in the trash. Mm-hmm. All this effort we're putting into trying to save the planet, and we're shipping over, you know, bean bags that are a quarter the size than they look in the picture. You know,
is this the least moral thing we've done as a show?
I think so.
Maybe the milk race is up there.
It's all right. We're helping China with overcapacity. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it is absolute toot. But let's see what we get. Yeah. You can watch us open those presents if you're signed up to the...
Excited and scared.
Yeah, me too.
Perfect. Thanks for interrupting for that little nugget of thought process. Patreon.com/TCGS is the video tier if you want to watch Timu, which I'm sorry, Matt, is the greatest thing you've ever said, to be fair.
But it never feels right. It feels like it should be Timu.
That's sort of why it's funny, though.
Yeah.
How come this is the one that you're worried about? All the other puns you fire out that make no sense.
I guess I've always just thought it was to you, to me, but it wasn't. That's not the case.
To me.
Yeah, anyway. The logo's done. That's amazing.
Look on James' face. He's like, you stupid prick.
I wouldn't agree, Matt, that your puns, like, that they don't work. They always work. They're just rubbish. It's like,
I don't even think that.
What really annoys me when people go, oh, you missed another Matt gag again.
But they're not always puns. That's what I hate, actually. You think I'm more than that. They're quips.
It's pun or quote from the office.
He's like a comedic onion.
They're quips. I would describe them as quips, not puns. Like, anyone could do a pun.
American cheese slice.
Anyone could do a pun. Fuck puns.
It's disappointing if you have it on its own.
Yes, yeah, I do enjoy a pun if it's like a stream or, you know, naming something, but I just prefer more quips.
We could get that added to the, you know, like how Apple Podcasts does the thing where it reads the transcript now. Mm. Like if it also had like a side where it had things like Matt quipped, and then that'd be so good.
Welcome back, James. How are you feeling? You were off ill last week.
I was, yeah. I'm feeling pretty good. I've just had some Red Bull. I'm ready to go.
That's it. That's what you need.
We said he'd been to the doctor. Shit. He hasn't. He's just bought a case of.
Yeah, it doesn't sound safe.
He is shaking the boy. You got any feedback from last week's episode?
Not really, actually. Because, I mean,
okay,
I was thinking...
Didn't
even
bother to do his job, did we?
I was thinking about it, and I was like, actually, it was, I enjoyed it as an episode, but I'm struggling to think of anything that I disagree with. Yeah.
Really, James? What about our feedback to your really heartfelt letter?
I just expected that. You know, it's... expected to be not appreciated, but it's fine.
Genuinely, I genuinely didn't pick up that it was ChatGPT until someone put it out in the chat. And
even though Matt had already said it, which I missed as well. I missed that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I swear, but people don't understand that we record locally and not the actual audio that we're hearing. Mm. So sometimes Matt will say something, we won't hear it. I mean, a lot of the time it's just not funny, so we don't react. But that one, I didn't pick up on the fact that it was ChatGPT. But when you sent it over, James, I was like, oh my fucking God, he's done something for the show. This is mad. I mean, just honestly, I don't know how you do it.
What I was going for is, because I mean, I talked with Ian Blee about this, and because it was
all grassing him up.
No, it all comes back to when we were going to have. It wasn't the 400th episode. It was another one. What was the other anniversary we had?
Was that birthday? Yeah, 8th birthday recently.
That's the one. Yeah, because I was going to do it for that when I couldn't be on that because I was in China, and I just loved.
Fucking hell, you can't be on anything.
No, I was in China. I was in China at the time.
Just save it for the next big episode. You can't be on.
But remember when we did a live show in Tobacco Docks? Couldn't be at that.
Again, in China.
What have you done, James?
You did do a video for that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I did a video for that, which was weird. But no, it's like, I've loved that idea of you know when they have on the, what was it called? Like, This Is Your Life and stuff like that. And how, you know, they'd always have somebody who was couldn't be bothered to be there on the day. So they sent there's a video, you know, them say, oh yeah, congratulations and all that. And I just thought it'd be funny to not even bother sending a video. Just it's just a letter. generated by AI. Seems,
but also conveniently took no effort. It's funny how
True. It did take some effort because obviously.
Oh my God.
No, because obviously I had to.
You had to feed info.
I had to prompt it in the right way to get what I wanted. You know, it's
That's actually a lot of skill in prompting AI. Yeah, yeah. It's a job in itself, isn't it?
James has wormed his way into a role where he doesn't have to give a shit or do anything.
Because that's his character now. It's fine.
It's not true. I care.
At the end of the last, one of the podcasts we did recently where it was like, what are you doing, James? Oh, I'm just sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I was just texting or something like that.
And no, it's not true. I care.
And the audience is like, yes, classic James.
Yeah, classic James that. And we're all just going, no, can you actually do something?
It's not fair. I care deeply.
That ChatGPT as well?
Is there just rush typing what to say to make your friends not mad at you anymore?
Prompt. Heartfelt message.
Okay, actually. I'm having a good time.
I thought it did a very good job at elucidating my deep feelings, for the show.
So basically, although it was computer generated, you agreed with every word.
Yeah,
you
were
it's fine.
It's you said it anyway.
It's what I would have said.
Nice
one. Well, that's James's feedback. One excellent portion of the show. Should we get to the feedback from our listeners?
Yeah. Why do I do this?
James, did you listen to the show last week?
Fucking no one knows, James. No one knows. Clearly
you
don't enjoy it anymore.
To the 400th episode.
I did listen, yeah.
God,
that's good. It's good.
Yeah. Brad from Iowa. Hey fellas, I've had a busy couple of weeks and fell behind on the podcast, a bit like James Farley. I added that bit. I just got caught up and wanted to be the first to say congratulations on 401 episodes. Y'all are the best in the biz and the show gets better every year. Here's to 401 more. Love from Brad.
Aww, thank you, Bradley. Cheers, Brad. 401. Did it feel weird not being on the 400th though, James?
In all honesty, when I said I'm not going to be on it, I'd kind of forgot that it was the 400th, and then when I realised when I realised, I felt terrible.
I clocked that straight away. Yeah. I was like, James has blatantly not realised what number this is.
Yeah,
and I was like, what are we on, 270? 140? What are we on these days?
Right, you didn't say anything at the time, because I think I mentioned it. You were in the chat watching on Twitch at the beginning, right?
Yes, yeah.
I fucking knew it. Because I said, I know James is watching this, he's in the chat.
Yeah,
he didn't put anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Called him out.
No, you didn't put anything last week. That's the thing. You didn't say anything in there last week.
No, but I always like to have a little look, see what's going on.
But it was so funny how everyone was like, oh, this is a wind-up, guys. Mm. It's episode 400.
It's
of course
bit,
James
yeah.
is there. This
it's
is a joke. This is a bit. This is
really
bit.
Wasn't.
And I wonder how long it took them before they went, oh, no, okay, fair enough. It's he's just not on the show again.
Black MIDI enjoyer. All right, lads, happy 400th. I know I'm a little bit late, but ADHD, be like that. I have a long and storied history of listening to you on podcasts, as all my other favourite podcasts, Chet and John, 1UP, Midnight Resistance, etc., Fell to the Wayside, Joypod, and latterly TCGS became the best game of podcast in my feed, albeit by default. Keep being natural and living it for another 401. Kiss, kiss. From Black Midi and Joy, thanks to Dave for mentioning them in passing.
You're very welcome. If you're into that world of music, then I've got the nerdiest story ever. That I met Geordie Greep at the recording of the Shepherd's Bush album for Black Country New Road. So there we go. If you're into that world, that's amazing. Seven people impressed with that. Seven people. None of them listen. So that's just for me there. That's just for me. We had a little party at the back of the thing. Right, next.
Nice. Virtual Boy, in regards to the best in consoles question from 2 weeks ago, please have a look at the Atari XEGS and the Sharp Twin Famicom Turbo. I know these picks make me sound like a pretentious prick, but trust me, the designs are really striking. Thanks for a great show.
Yeah, I looked them up. Yeah, they do look cool.
Do they?
Or yeah. Better than a San.
I'm surprised James doesn't know. He loves stuff like this.
He loves failed. I was looking at him. I was like, I don't know what either of these are. I mean, obviously.
Atari X. No. That looks like a shit.
That looks crap.
Yeah, that looks like a shit STE.
It does, yeah.
So I'm not having that.
Sharp Twin Famicom Turbo.
I forgot my mama.
Oh, yes. That looks absolutely incredible.
It does. Looks like a Ferrari.
Yeah, no, I've got time for that one. That's nice. Yeah, well. I would want it in the front room, but
no.
I would if I was had to buy the red or the black one, I'd be buying the red one.
I still think that looks a bit shit. Sorry.
What's your favourite looking console then, James, of all time?
That is a really good question.
I haven't really thought about it.
So I listened to us 2 weeks ago.
Such an academic you are. Hey, that's a really good question. AKA, I need some time to make a quiz.
Don't quit. ChatGPT. See.
Okay, I would have to of the most recent stuff. I'd have to say I think the Series S looks brilliant. I really do.
Didn't we have this conversation the other week?
What is that with a black circle on it?
We had this conversation like 2 weeks ago on the show.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right.
Yeah,
but James Foy wasn't here, Sean.
It's a nice looking console. I think it looks great.
No, it's not the boring best as looking fuck. Console.
Looks wise. It's little, yeah, sure. But
the 1X is boring as fuck, but it just looks fucking class.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't choose either of them in the list of best looking, but that's literally a white box of a... Yeah. Circle on this.
Fuck off, James, you idiot. You're an idiot.
Ping something here.
In James' defence, 2 weeks ago, we suggested the Series S, and neither of you said shit. So why is it suddenly the worst console ever?
If you
have to say, in James' defence, then you know you're on the wrong side. Yeah. All right? So that's just
I think the 3DO looked all right. The Panasonic one.
Shut up. Next.
Just say the Panasonic Q and we'll move on.
I got so much shit for saying that it didn't look good anymore, the Panasonic Q.
Yeah, it looks a bit dated, doesn't it? I think.
I mean, it is.
Yes, yeah. It does. Next.
Sam Harrison. Please. Just wanted to say thanks to TCGS for the show and congratulations on 400 episodes. I got into the show via a Marvel course last summer and now listen religiously and recommend to all my friends who miss the old school giant bomb cast from back in the early days. I would say everyone stop being so mean to James, but it's also very funny. I agree, Sam.
Yeah, I kind of find it funny. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I love hearing those stories. Like, oh, you heard us through Marvel calls. That's good.
Yeah, I it's weird because everyone that I assume had listened since JoyPod, which is probably the most arrogant thing to assume of all time, and we've got stats that prove that couldn't be the case. But there's part of me that's kind of like, yeah, they all get it. They all know. So to find us through Marvel calls must be a little bit weird.
And that, also, I assumed on that. Such a massive proportion of listenership of Marvel calls were TCGS listeners. I didn't also. Oh yeah, there would obviously be new listeners.
Because didn't at the time we were like, oh yeah, like are we good? Like is this going to bring anyone to TCGS? Probably not. Like it's going to like might do well on its own, but it's not really related.
Is it really worth it?
Yeah,
if it's not going to help us, what is the point?
But we've recorded it.
Yeah, they've already done 2 years recording, Sean. So, but should we still release it? I don't know if we should.
It was a fine podcast. Marvel Calls still available. Next.
Adam C. Read David's Fallout 4 save. The new PS5 has a separate trophy list and save record, so everyone loading it for the first time has zero saves and zero trophies. There's an import save option or import save button that lets you import any PS5 save file into the PS5 game. Did David do this? As he doesn't mention trying it. Understandable if we missed it, because they did hide the button away in the middle of a main menu in big green text. He's got you there, David.
I did see that, but I don't know where you would load it. Where you would load it from?
The cloud.
I don't got my PS4 anymore.
But, yeah, no. The whole,
would the PS4 save not be in the cloud? Yeah, but then how do you get the PS4 save?
I am sure I played it on fucking Xbox. Like, we played it at the same time, right, James?
We did, and I'm certain you played it on Xbox, because I remember like seeing you on like friends list and all that kind of stuff. Because we played like through the whole thing. Weird.
I don't know, because I think I got that. I think I got it early through Spong.
Mm.
I think someone mentioned last week in chat, but you could check your achievement list and
check the PS4 version.
Well, again, I mentioned last week that there was no trophies, no achievements, so it was really.
But
weird.
Were you looking at the PS5 version? Is that what we were?
Probably, yeah. Probably. I'll have to look back and see if it's up. But what a weird thing that is, not being able to play. Okay,
cool. Maybe we'll talk about David's lack of save for a third week in a row next week. Captain Wickram.
Bit rude. Yeah, all right, James.
What?
Yeah, James, shut up. Captain Wickram. Hello, gang. I have a 7-year-old daughter, and we only have a few common interests, one of which being computer games. The latest game we have played together was Mario Wonder, but we kind of bounced off it, probably due to the fact it's not actually good for multiplayer. Damn straight. Right. Since then, we've not really played anything together until last week. It's here that I want to say a massive thank you to Sean, who some weeks ago mentioned playing Cat Quest 2 with his son, a nice little game that costs about £3.50 on CD keys. Wait, is this an ad? Yeah. Fucking hell, Captain Wickram.
CD keys, that's 40 quid.
Yeah, hashtag ad. So I bought it, and at the weekend we started playing it together. Suffice to say, she absolutely loves it. So much so that when she finishes school, she can't wait for me to get home from work so we can play some more of Cat Quest 2 before she goes to bed. She loves the fact that all the characters are animals. It's not too difficult, and it looks nice for what it is. And for me, there's enough in the combat and looting items and small RPG elements that I also get enjoyment from it. This is why I love this show. I never would have picked up a game like Cat Quest 2 without hearing Sean talk about it on this show, and that's what you're all so good about, talking about games that would not necessarily be on everyone's radar. What a recommendation for me and my daughter, Sean. It ensures you spend more quality time together as a father and daughter when we don't always have things in common, and that's what it's all about. Top work all from your ever grateful listener, Captain Wickram. Thank you.
Oh, cheers, that's really kind.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's interesting, like you mentioned the RPG stuff. I had the issue with Isaac where whenever we got any new gear or anything, he just wanted to equip it. And I'm like, no, because you have to spend gold to level it up, Isaac. And build you're currently using is perfect. You don't need
to read the lore about the chess piece.
So I just sort of gave in after a bit. I was like, yeah, all right, put the new hat on. Oh, you've died again, have you? All right, I wonder why that is.
You're rubbish at this.
Yeah, but then he's going to be coming back to you and saying, look, we can just re-roll later.
Yeah, we can re-roll. I've met another vendor.
Charlie's been a bit... We've been playing Animal Well, and there are some frustrating, you know, skill moments in that. You know, it's quite difficult. And I'm getting a little bit frustrated with one bit, and he goes, I could do this easy. And I just wanted to fucking lob the pad at him. And he went, let me have a go. And I didn't give it to him because I thought if he did do it, I'd be fuming.
Yeah.
I just discovered something.
All the time.
Sorry, go on.
Asher does that all the time. And then I always let him
really
do it.
Good at games, though, isn't he?
He is pretty good, but then he fails and then I laugh at him. And it's good.
Sounds healthy. Sounds good.
I've discovered something really interesting here. James, you've always said that you thought Fallout 4 was a big disappointment, right?
I don't think so. When it came out. Why?
I know where this is going.
Did I review it?
I found you reviewed it.
Did I? Wow.
Do you remember what you gave it?
Oh, no.
Probably like a 9 or something. What did I give it?
You gave it a 9.
Wow.
Pros. Cool. Ready? Pros. The Wasteland is more detailed than ever.
That's pretty good.
Engaging stories.
Yeah, that's true.
Crafting systems add an extra layer of depth.
He bloody loves crafting
systems. And I hate crafting systems.
Cons. Glitches occasionally break the illusion. Sheer number of quests can sometimes be overwhelming. Some game systems could be better explained. Actually, I don't know why I'm saying that. That all sounds fine. Like, that's not even yeah, anything.
It doesn't
that
sound
I'm
like it justifies a 9, though.
No, no. It's
and it also doesn't justify the fact that he, in the same year, gave it Game of the Year.
Wow. Okay.
You did? You gave Fallout 4 the Game of the Year.
What else came out that year?
And you have a little pop at me. Sadly, my Dark Souls guide, David Turner, told me that I'm not allowed to choose Dark Souls for my Game of the Year.
It's true. It would have been Dark Souls if I could have done, but yeah.
Super Mario Maker came out that year, James.
Yeah, but...
You chose Fallout 4.
It was good, but come on, everyone did the same with Super Mario Maker. Yeah, they played it for, you know, a couple of weeks and then never touched it
oh,
again.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, no, I fucking loved it. What are you talking about? No, I'm not in that list of people that only touched it for a couple of weeks. That game was class. Right, a little blast from the past there. should we get on to the news?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, so some stuff happened last week after you
recorded.
Yeah,
a few things.
Yeah. So,
this is all really shit,
yeah.
Right? We've been talking about... how crap the industry is at the moment and everything that it's going through and the way big companies are treating people and treating livelihoods, treating studios. And I think I got called out quite early on when we were talking about this stuff for taking a light touch with it all. And I sort of listened back and I listened to what people were saying. I was like, yeah, they were right, actually. I sort of did go, aye, but what do you want the big companies to do? And maybe I was wrong to do that. This feels like the start. To me, I don't know about you guys, and we'll get to the news stories, right? It's coming. So if you've not heard it, I'm sorry. But the feeling we are with the industry at the moment and the way the industry is reacting, this doesn't feel like the end. It doesn't feel like the peak of how shit it's going to get. It feels like the start of a really bad peak.
Yeah.
And these news stories are not letting up. And we had another one break just as we hit record for this podcast. Things are shit at the moment.
Yeah.
And this one is not only shit, I think everyone just finds it utterly baffling.
Yeah. I mean,
do you know what I mean?
And that's the main thing with this, because it's all the twisting and sort of turning that the executives have done with this as well, which make it worse.
So let's get to it.
So last week, Microsoft decided to shut down Arkane Austin, Tango Gameworks, Alpha Dog, and Roundhouse Games. So Arkane Austin, obviously, they did Redfall most recently, but also Dishonored, before that, and Prey, and other games. And Tango Gameworks had Hi-Fi Rush, and was it Ghostwire Tokyo, yeah?
They also did recently. The Evil Within 1 and 2 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo was sort of an average sort of game, but Hi-Fi Rush, although I didn't get on with it, was really loved by a lot of people, wasn't it?
And then also Alpha Dog, which they've done mobile games mostly. They did like a Doom like game, and
which is all right. Like, you know, I didn't enjoy the free to play stuff, but then I was never going to. But it's a perfectly enjoyable game.
I mean, yeah, it probably would have been useful for them to have like a mobile studio, especially now they're opening a mobile store.
Yeah.
And now they shut this one down. And then also Roundhouse Games, who were a support studio, but they were mostly for Elder Scrolls. Was it Elder Scrolls or it was for Bethesda Games, I think they were supporting.
They said they're being sort of absorbed into Bethesda as a whole. I can't remember.
Yeah. So, basically, it seems to be down to Microsoft saying that they can't support all of these studios at this stage. And Sarah Bond spoke with Dina Bass from Bloomberg, and Bloomberg asked her, like, why are these being shut? And this is the quote. She said, "It's always extraordinarily hard when you have to make decisions like that. I'll go back to what I was saying about the industry. And when we look at these fundamental trends, we feel a deep responsibility to ensure the games we make, the devices we build, the services that we offer are there through moments, even when the industry isn't growing and you're through a time of transition. And the news we announced early this week is an outcome of that. And our commitment is to make sure that the business is healthy for the long term." She was then quizzed as to how you have a game like Hi-Fi Rush, which, according to Microsoft's own PR, had been like a critical and commercial success, where there was like tweets from like Aaron Greenberg and people like that, you know, saying about how brilliant it was and what, you know, how brilliant, you know, the game performed. And they asked her, like, you know, why, how it is that you then shut a studio like this down. And she said, one of the things I really love about the games industry is it's a creative art form. And it means that the situation and what success is for each game and studio is also really unique. There's no one size fits all to it for us. And we look at each studio, each game team, and we look at a whole variety of factors when we're faced with making decisions and trade-offs like that. But it all comes back to our long-term commitment to the games we create, the devices we build, the services, and ensuring that we're setting ourselves up to be able to deliver on those promises. So it's kind of like a confusing sort of word salad where she kind of repeated what she'd already said.
Nothing, isn't it?
Yeah. And also Bloomberg also now claimed that the layoffs aren't finished and that there's going to be more probably after the showcase in June. Like that's, yeah, and probably for like core Xbox studios. But then it got even weirder where Matt Booty, who's the, he's the Xbox studio head, right? He's he's in charge of of this, and he did one of those like town hall meetings where, you know, he, you know, tried to sort of talk about, you know, why this had happened. And for some reason during this town hall meeting, he said, we need smaller games that give us prestige and awards. And this was a bit confusing after what had happened with Hi-Fi Rush, because that had been, I mean, this is the tweet from Aaron Greenberg. He said, Hi-Fi Rush was a breakout hit for us and our players in all key measurements and expectations. We couldn't be happier with what the team at Tango Gameworks delivered with this surprise release. And then they shut them down. So people are very confused about this. About, I mean, the focus from Matt Booty is he's saying, he says we need, he said that they want to focus on more sort of, you know, like a core of games or whatever, rather than having all these others. And none of this really makes much sense at all, apart from the fact that they're just cutting.
It would almost be better if they just said, look, shareholders told us we had to cut something, we rolled a dice, sorry. Do you know what I mean? Like, the everything they've been coming out with is like borderline insulting.
The Sarah Bond comments are most confusing because it's almost like they had not prepared a response.
And like loads of people,
she knew she was
saying,
doing this
like,
live, is like a live Q&A on stage at this event, but they clearly didn't have a, you know, a line ready to go that would you know, It would explain the situation. That was just, as James said, a word salad that kind of means nothing.
Which would imply one of a few things. Either she didn't know about it.
She's the president of Xbox.
Yeah.
I would agree. There was an agreement that it wasn't going to be asked, and then it just was, which is a possibility.
Possible, yeah.
The other could be that they are just, like, the way I've seen how this has all gone down, away from the realities of what's going on and you know, the stories we should be focusing on. I saw someone say, let's not focus on the people at, talking about the people at the top here. Let's focus on the reality of what they've done and the staff involved and the developers. And I get that. Like, I do get that. But the thing that sort of really shone for me throughout this week is that those people ahead of Xbox that we've been watching over the years and sort of warmed to, we've given Phil Spencer so much love from this side, and, you know, he seems like a good guy, he wants to do the best for Xbox, but we're starting to see the reality that was all a bit of a front.
And I think what's so interesting,
I don't agree with that though. I see, that's the thing, I don't think it was a front. Like, honestly, I would give, like, Phil Spencer and those people that are in those positions, the element of like the doubt with that, in the sense of, I don't think that they didn't mean any of that stuff when they were saying it. I think they did. They meant a lot of the stuff that they said when they did this.
Yeah. But when you go back on it so quickly, then what is the point? Then how can you mean it? How can you mean what you say when just a few years later you're shutting those,
because,
you
know, a lot can happen in a few years.
Well, yeah, and this is true. Why people in those positions don't tend to talk this honestly, isn't it? Because eventually they might have to just make a decision that completely contradicts things.
Goes against
said.
The values, yeah.
And this is what's been so, like, damaging, I think, for this with Xbox, is that now anybody can pick out quotes from, like, you know, 6 months ago even, or a year ago, of them saying all this stuff, which is the right, you know, all the right things to say, all the, you know, like, we're consumer friendly, all of that sort of stuff, and then it just looks embarrassing, like, saying all this stuff. But I think the reason I say that I think that they meant this in the beginning is I think that Game Pass was a big bet that they took on this, and they really hoped and they really thought it was going to work. Probably from the, you know, because of the pandemic and all that kind of thing, they got, you know, this idea that it was going to build into something that I don't think it has. And that's what I mean by saying I think that they meant it in the beginning, but right. The reality has now panned out where I don't think it's grown to the point which it needs to Xbox.
I think what has been made clear, other than your trust is broken with these executives that stand in front of you and trying to sell you shit, I think the other thing that's been made clear is that Xbox are taking a major directional shift in their strategy.
Yeah.
And whatever that could mean anything. That could mean that they are closing down hardware. That could mean that they are just seeing themselves as publishers in the future, you know. It could mean anything. I don't know what it means yet, but clearly there has been, right, we need to steer the ship in another direction now.
But I think that's so short-sighted, though.
Yeah, absolutely it is. But then...
In what way do you think it's... How do you mean?
In that, like those Xbox studios, they were clearly all purchased. Like, there's a lot, you know, so many of those studios, like Ninja Theory, Obsidian, Double Fine, all of those... were clearly intended to create this breadth of not necessarily massive AAA releases, right? Like these games that are like interesting. You know, they've talked before about, oh, you know, Game Pass like encourages people to try stuff they wouldn't normally. Like, yeah, they were probably never going to beat Sony in terms of the massive cinematic stuff, but this was their tactic instead. And it made sense, right? I love... I love Psychonauts 2, Pentiment, all that stuff. And now I'm like, oh, is that going away now?
But that's the thing. It made sense, but clearly it hasn't worked. And that's why it's going away.
But you need
away.
To give it time, though. Do you know what I think?
Yeah, but
like,
how much time are they
this
gonna
is always
going
to be almost like a lost leader in many ways. Yeah. As Sean said, like, it's who would subscribe to Game Pass?
A lost leader for what, though? A lost leader needs an end game.
Well,
exactly.
The end game is more Game Pass subs.
Yeah, but the Game Pass subs have stopped. I can only assume that Game Pass subs are going down, not up.
Or just that they've plateaued. I think they're just not growing, right?
I just don't think they're plateauing either. I genuinely think they're probably going down.
But I think
work. But I think they're probably going down, and that's why we're seeing such a panic.
But also,
one of the big positives of Game Pass is that, also as well as all the indie stuff, you get Microsoft's Xbox games, you know, the first party ones day one, and we haven't really had many of them. And ones we haven't exactly blown the back doors off. So there's another kind of major thing. I mean, the games have been delayed loads, and I'm sure they were expected or forecast for huge Game Pass subs if Starfield did what it needed to do, or if Redfall did what it needed to do.
I just think there is a certain audience that will pay a subscription for Game Pass, right?
Mm.
I think they thought the audience was bigger than it is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what
they thought. They thought the average consumer will continuously pay for Game Pass, and they won't.
But again, though, the average consumer keep talking tends about... Like the numbers aren't growing. Oh, we need to figure out new ways to grow. Maybe don't get rid of your only Japanese studio. Do you know what I mean?
Don't get me wrong. I can't wrap my head around it either. Mm. I don't understand it. I don't think there's any good reason for what they've done.
No.
But the only thing that I can think of is that they're taking a major redirection in where they're going as a business, as Xbox as a business. Mm. They're taking a completely different direction, and because of that, that's why they're shutting these studios down, because they are not part of this new direction. I still think even if you're going on a different direction, you're still going to want to appeal to the hardcore, you know, gaming fans. And by shuttering these studios, I think the trust is broken. I think the support is hurt. You know, you'll always get people that still defend Microsoft and Xbox and stuff. Like, but I think you've upset a lot of people. People are going to be wary around you now. I think the illusion of, you know, Phil Spencer and his teams coming to, you know, save the day for gamers, I think that sort of dissipates.
I think that's gone completely now.
One of the really interesting conversations I think we had, because we're like really thoughtful people, man, in our WhatsApp group, and we don't just post like memes.
It's actually
to
better
each
than
other.
The show. the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, we're going to do one episode where we just read out our WhatsApp messages because we are that self-indulgent.
It'll just be James posting
those
DeLorean pictures.
But one of the
pictures.
Questions we said is how they do this presentation in June. And like my prediction would be Phil Spencer cannot, but like he will have to be there because he is always a major part of their big summer presentations, right? Mm-hmm. He will be in that video, but whereas previously he's been throughout that video, I think we're going to see him right at the start and right at the end.
Obviously always done the intros and outro, but yeah. I'm sure he's kind of left
June
it sometimes
ones,
to other
no,
like
for the
heads
big
off.
June ones, no, he loves it. He comes out with his gaming t-shirt and tells us how good, great games are.
He was
are
when
he
was on stage, but I got an impression less so recently.
He's always all over it. Like he's always all over all of these.
On the last one, he was at the latter part of it. Like mm-hmm. he wasn't all the way through, but it was still a big chunk. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think this time it's going to be we've made, you know, some decisions there'll be that mm-hmm. sort of shit mm-hmm. at the start. Now on with the show. And then at the end, it'll be, and it'll just crumb up like right at the very end. I think that's the way
it'll be the usual thing. Like you said, it'd be like, you know, we've had to make some tough decisions, but you know, Xbox is, you know, stronger than
it's
ever. And you know, we're growing off. And you know, we've got these things
we've
coming
got great
out,
releases for yeah. the next 18
if
months.
If he says, we hear you. That's what I'll do.
I'll just turn it off.
Yeah, genuinely, I'll just put it out there. No, you don't hear us at all. Yeah.
But you see, I mean, there's been a lot of videos online, particularly of like, you know, like opinion pieces and stuff, you know, like, you know, why this has happened at this point and, you know, what's the reason? And I think one of the things that I think is quite convincing is the idea it is because of this Activision purchase and how this has changed, you know, the maths, as it were, you know, for Microsoft, where it means that, I mean,
they're paying attention to Xbox now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like an enormous publisher. And I think one of the reasons for shutting down all these studios is they probably looked at the numbers and just been like, it's cheaper to just buy exclusivity on some of these games rather than supporting these studios. And
yeah, I was wondering, like, I wonder how much it's worth. We were talking about what game was... it comes up later, so we'll bring it up. I think it's the Square Enix stuff, right? We'll talk about that later. But you do wonder how much people are getting paid for exclusivity at this point.
Not enough.
When there's an uneven market. Yeah, when there's an uneven market, like there is, you know, Sony's not going to offer you that much for exclusivity, are they? Because they know then
they don't need
you know,
to.
Sales on the other console are not going to be insane.
Yeah. I mean, I was listening on some other podcast, I can't remember which one it was, sorry, where they were talking about how developers have said that like there is still money from Game Pass, but it's not what it was at the beginning. Like it's not, that's kind of like not dried up completely, but it's not, they're not pushing it in the same way that they were like to begin with.
Shame you can't cite your sources. Really.
No, I can't remember which one it was. Yeah. Might be kind of funny, actually. But yeah, I think what gets me
is people saying like, oh, this is it now, the mask has slipped. And they're right. But usually, when a mask slips, it reveals something else. Whereas in this, I'm like, what? What's behind the mask? It's fucking mist.
We don't know yet.
I think what is behind the mask is eventually... that they're going to go full third party in the sense of they're going to release their games on everything, but that doesn't mean the end of Xbox. I think they're going to run the same strategy that they do with Windows, where they have like, you know, it runs on everything, but we also have our own hardware line as well, which is like, you know, the best place to play.
So you reckon you reckon they're going to release a PC gaming box rather than an Xbox?
No. I think they'll still keep doing what they're doing. They're still going to have an Xbox.
Yeah, but why would anyone fucking develop for the Xbox if it's just going to go down the fucking pan?
Well,
why would anyone develop their games for that system?
Because there's still a market there. There's still people like, you know, this. It's not like
that's just going to dissipate. If you could, this is what I said to you. If you've got... If all Xbox Microsoft games are on PlayStation, are you going to go out and buy the next £450 Xbox?
But some people maybe would because of Game Pass or whatever.
Yeah, but my point is that market is going to plummet, surely. Because I wouldn't, and I fucking love games.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Xbox player. I'm a player, boy.
He's a player, right? Yeah, but there may still be some things you
I'm
can
not
only
going
do on
out
Xbox.
Buying an
or...
Xbox if it- Yeah, like what? Halo? Like, who gives a fuck?
Well, I think Halo's actually one that's more likely to go third party, but there may be some things which are only on there, but...
Come on. then? So what? Then what? Why would you buy an Xbox over a PlayStation or as well as a PlayStation if all the Xbox games are on PlayStation? I mean,
because, David, it's the best place to play Game Pass.
Exactly.
And I've always said that.
It does have the best online infrastructure.
Yeah, right.
To be fair.
Party chat.
But I don't think that's in, like, oh, yeah, I'll pay another £500 for that, please.
Achievement, tick.
So we're saying that people will still buy Xbox because they want the subscription service that is currently failing.
Yeah.
That subscription service needs to hit and maintain a certain number to be viable. And I am starting to realise that Xbox are realising that it is no longer viable,
but you see,
or it's not going to be viable in the future.
But that's the thing. I'm saying this is what they're going to do. I'm not saying it's going to work or that it makes sense, but that's what I think that they'll do. I really think that they are going to go, they're going to start releasing stuff on other systems, everything.
I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I just think if they think they're going to do that and also maintain their own market on Xbox, then they're mad.
It's worth pointing out,
we are four of the biggest nerds in the country, and I can't imagine owning an Xbox and PlayStation if that happens.
I mean, it's worth pointing out as well that, like, PlayStation just got a really good port of Hi-Fi Rush, so even PlayStation owners are like, oh, what'd you shut these guys down for fuck's sake? Like,
yeah. But this is obviously, you know, so many people are talking about it this week. This feels different to the other closures, the other redundancies we've heard over the last 18 months. So why do we think this one has seemed to be a bigger impact?
It's just because it makes even less sense.
It makes less sense, but it's also because of all the stuff we've heard from Microsoft the last couple of years. That's why. We've had years and years now of being told these games are coming, but also, you know, we love developers. We want to nurture talent. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to do that. And then they buy these studios and then shut them down. And it's like, that's...
And we've been here before. That's what's so frustrating. Microsoft have done this before. And in 3-4 years, they're going to be like, oh, shit, we've got no one to make games again.
I tell you why this is different, and it's not different from a human level, it's not different from the people that have been affected, it's not different from that level, but it's different in the sense that Microsoft convinced us that they changed, and this is the truth that they haven't. And the guys that walk out in their t-shirts and talk about playing Gears of War because we're one of you, that's gone now. That is gone. That whole feeling of Microsoft working to make the industry better has now there's a reason why people are posting those clips from the Double Fine documentary.
I was gonna say,
and saying, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And yes, you're right, James, things change and people, that's why companies, but it shows you that era of what they were aiming at is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's done. And it feels like it is not over here. And I think in a year or 2 years' time, we'll look back on that and go, shit, that's why all this, I get it. Fuck. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll be clear, like, what they're actually doing. And we're in a state now where we're going, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's just shit.
We've been that for a while. And this makes it less clear. I mean, maybe... will we be any clearer in 2 years' time? I mean, let's hope so, for everyone's sake.
We will. Because what we were unsure of before was, what are they going to do? They're acquiring all these studios. They're building something. We've not seen anything. But what are they working on? And now we know, they're not doing that. They're just shutting them all down now. Like, what the fuck? Mm.
Well, they're not shutting them all down. They have shut some down.
Yeah, it feels like, because these closures make so... we should acknowledge, like, Redfall, not a hit, right? But also, we know the reasons for that. It's not strictly the dev's fault, right? There was meddling from ZeniMax and stuff. They wanted a multiplayer shooter, Xbox.
Fucking Arcane, though.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. Anyone without any prestige, is
that's
it?
What I mean. Yeah.
It's like people should be able to make mistakes as well, or to, you know, to learn from that and then build new things, rather than it just being like, oh, sorry, you know, that's it, you're done. You know, like, it's one mistake and then you're finished.
Redfall's interesting because apparently they're working on an offline patch so you can play it without, they need to be online, and they're working on that, it's due to be delivered like this week or next week, and that, you know,
that's just gone,
cut. Yeah, so that's not happening. They're not like, yeah, just, you know, finish your work as it was and keep going, and and then we'll end it. It's just like done straight away. So that's just not happening now.
And we should also mention, like, with Tango Gameworks, because obviously it was founded by Shinji Mikami, who's somewhat of a legend. He left last year, and everyone's like, oh, is that part of it? Like, well, no, because he was nothing to do with Hi-Fi Rush, and that was a success by, you know, every possible metric. So still doesn't fucking add up, man.
I think Matt, you say, oh, they haven't shut them all down. I think,
but it feels like they could.
What?
Right?
Yes. Yes. Of course they could. Yeah.
Or like, or we don't know made, who's going to be
the decisions
next,
they've made. The decisions they've made here make you go, holy fuck! Yeah, they could shut her anyway.
Imagine you're working at Ninja Theory right now, and you're about to put Hellblade 2 out. And you're like, man, we're all doing our best. This is going to be great. Oh, but that might not be enough.
No, you can win awards and all sorts and be critically acclaimed, commercially successful, and still won't be enough. Yep.
I mean, also,
a lot of people are starting to worry the fact that they are not, like, advertising that game at all now.
Yeah.
It seems to be very quiet.
But no, it's, I mean, the thing is I think the focus clearly now is they just think they're doing what they did. This is what's so frustrating about this whole thing, is that it is literally doing exactly what they did last time, where they shut down all those studios and were like, let's focus on Halo, Gears, and Forza. You know, those are our three things that everyone loves. Everyone's into those. And they're doing exactly the same thing, but this time they're saying, we got Fallout this time as well. So let's make loads of Fallout games.
And Call of Duty.
And
but again, though, dev cycles are so long. You know, like we were saying, like, last week, like, the next Elder Scrolls is in development. We don't know what that is, really. Like, we're not seeing anything of that. So that's presumably still ages off. So the next Fallout game could be 3-4 years away, at least.
We're going to be seeing a lot of remasters, I think, Sean.
I think close to about 10 years, really. You know,
Possibly, yeah. I think that is part of it. I think they bought all these studios thinking, there'll be like a consistent flow of smaller games to prop up the bigger ones. But actually, even those smaller games are taking 2-3 years to cook now, and
they're not selling Game Pass. That's the thing. Yeah. I think that's the biggest problem here. Yeah. Is I genuinely think Game Pass is a bet that was made that has not paid off, and this is pretty much apparent that it's not paid off now. Mm-hmm. And how they get out of that now, though, I have no idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they can't put a genie back in the bottle. Like, they've said, okay, you don't have to buy our games for 60-70 quid anymore. Yeah. So for them to suddenly say, actually,
what's making you think that they won't just do that?
Well, I mean, any business could do anything, of course. But
because when you think about it,
it's a big walk back.
Forza Horizon on PlayStation for 70 quid would fucking sell an insane amount.
Oh,
of copies.
On different platforms for sure. But like, they couldn't suddenly start saying, actually, maybe Game Pass doesn't include this,
that's the problem.
The next Halo or the next Fallout.
Yeah,
as they tried to recoup some revenue,
or they'll get the idea with the like, oh well, Game Pass gets you like the base version, but actually, if you want a load of other shit, it's 15 quid.
Yeah, for 10 days.
Yeah, I just think this is terrible for the industry. Mm. It angered me because I think I bought into the ethos they were touting for the past 5 years, and to see where they've got. All right, okay, I sort of fell off of it. As we entered into this generation, I think you started to see that actually they weren't backing up what they were saying. Mm. But this really does feel like a big fucking boot in the face. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I don't get it. I think there's probably a reason behind it that we don't know yet that will become clear within the next few years.
I think that might still be giving them too much credit.
I think it's just literally cost saving. Microsoft probably said, look, come on, mate, come on. You spent 70 billion on this company. You better start making some savings.
I think they're steering the ship in a different direction. I think that's what's behind all this.
So, David, do you think it could become like Windows Phone then? They may just dump it, like, eventually.
Dump what?
Like Xbox. Just say, like, we're not.
We discussed this. It's the second biggest revenue earner for Microsoft.
No, Activision is, Matt. Not Xbox.
Even before it was doing incredibly well, wasn't it? Even before that.
It was Xbox.
I don't know, man. I don't think so. I don't know where you're getting that from.
Well, how do you mean?
Matt. Where are you getting that from?
Well, I mean, it's coming to the second biggest revenue division in Microsoft based on the latest financial readings. But I thought it was doing well.
Based on what? sales of what are they including? What
well,
they
well, we covered this like 2 or 3 weeks ago in the news. Like, it's,
yeah, no, I heard you. Yeah. I heard the quote, but yeah, I
yeah,
just,
it's based on revenue. So I don't know.
Yeah, but revenue on what, game sales? Because they can keep up the game sales revenue by dropping Xbox as a thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they just decide to just multi-format everything and drop the hardware, they could make a lot of money, like, by doing
it's
that.
It's so fucking shit for consumers, though.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I've always been harsh on Sony, but there's a fucking reason. They are. When they're on their own, man, they are hard work. Do you know what I mean?
That's the other thing that really sucks about this, is it also, like, you know, this was like Microsoft's obviously have like thrown, we have no idea, but a huge amount of money at Xbox, like, over the years. Like, it must be like billions, you know, by this stage.
And they can afford to be clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not pretend this is like charity or something.
But it's just like, it's mad, isn't it, to think that it's like, even a company like that that's done this still can't move the needle in their idea, you know, enough to make it worthwhile. Mm-hmm. It's just really depressing. Yeah, that is.
It is depressing.
But I've got some good news, because Sea of Thieves was the best-selling digital PS5 game in Europe last month.
It's a great game, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Have you jumped back on just to see what it's like?
I haven't, actually, no.
Five people.
They've added quite a lot of new stuff since I last played, so I'm keen, but I don't think any of the people I used to play with are bothered.
It would be mad just to see. I mean, you're so much more experienced in it than the PS5 people. It would have been great to just die absolutely.
Is it
cross run up.
Play with PS5?
You have to.
I think so.
Yeah, I guess so.
The other thing I wonder about this, though, is I wonder how much of this is down to pricing as well. Because it's cheap, like, as in cheaper than, like, it's not a £70 release.
Is it not?
And no.
I suppose, because it's got microtransactions and stuff in, so I suppose you'd be quite cheeky to ask full price.
How much is it?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's definitely not a full price.
£3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yes, it is cross-play.
It is cross-play. Okay.
Anyone on PS5 can play with people, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine. It is fine, that one.
So, I'll move on to the next story, because it's kind of connected and related to this, was that also... The Perfect Dark reboot is apparently in a very rough state and a big protracted mess. So this was Jeff Grubb.
£40, Sea of Thieves on your PlayStation.
That's not bad, is it?
For a fucking
game. That's what I'm saying. It's like, but we've seen this also with Helldivers as well, like how that was also priced, you know, cheaper, and it's done really well. Really, really well. It's almost like games, if they're a little bit cheaper sometimes, sell really well, doesn't it?
You do know that there's a fucking executive somewhere going, oh, we fucked that up. Do you know what I mean? Like, not realising that actually, because you go, oh no, it's only £40. You're more likely to jump on it. Yeah. Like, that's part of that game's success. Yeah. But sorry, James. Perfect Dark Zero shit. That's what I said. Oh, what?
I never knew that.
This was Jeff Grubb. So he was speaking on Giant Bomb, and he said, I've been hearing for years that Perfect Dark is in a rough state, but it sounds like it's in a very, very rough state. It doesn't sound like it's really come together in any way since then. And then VG247's Alex Onelson said, I have some crazy stories about the development of that game. I have not put in print out of respect for a team really trying hard to push a boulder up a steep hill, but my patience is getting thin. But then,
don't say anything then.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, but then there's
leave
now
off
rumors.
Alex.
Yeah, Sean's trying to get him on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't respond to any of those tweets, so I think we fucked that up.
Yeah, full fucking then. Don't say anything then, Alex.
But
I've got some stories for you. What are they? Can't tell you, mate. Well, shut up then, Alex. We're joking, Alex. We love you. It was a very good episode of NGIF. Right. Okay, that's fine, that one. Just in case someone clips it.
But there are now rumours that it is going to be at the showcase in June, that they're going to show something. I mean, I'm assuming that probably means
mate,
trailer.
You are teasing me with these stories that you're like, hey, it's really shit, but we're gonna see
it anyway. It's just gonna be really obviously unfinished. It's gonna be like white box levels, just like nothing happening. Oh look, we've made it so look, she can run forwards and turn.
It'll be a concept trailer, and that'll be the thing.
We've already had that. We had the CG trailer
a few years ago.
4 years ago.
Yeah, but we're going in a new we've heard you. We're going in a new direction. We'll have the whole thing. Anyway, other news is that they're also launching this mobile store in the summer. So This is coming in July, and they're going to have Candy Crush and Minecraft on it.
Oh,
so that's
good.
Exciting.
Yeah. Oh, man, I could smash some Candy Crush again. I ain't played that for ages. Come on, it was all right, that.
John, I don't think I ever played it. Obviously, I've played other Match 3 games. If it's a good one of them, then yeah, of course.
That means it's an all right one of them. It's nothing special.
So it's just a website, isn't it, James? It's not an app.
It's not an app yet. It's a website where you can download stuff.
All right.
Then also, so Square Enix have decided that they're going to aggressively pursue new multi-platform strategy. Because apparently Final Fantasy VII Rebirth underperformed on PlayStation, and also Final Fantasy XVI and Forspoken didn't sell as well as they were expecting. Yeah. And so now they want to release stuff on everything.
But that wasn't...
I was going to say, there's other reasons.
It was only on PlayStation. Forspoken, I mean, cuff. That guy. Remember that guy? He was... You tried to make a character out of a bracelet, Square Enix.
So yeah, they've decided they're going to try and release stuff on everything, and this includes also more mobile games as well. And they also said they want to leverage IP across media formats, so that presumably means, you know, characters from Final Fantasy and
Forspoken movie,
all that sort of stuff.
That fucking world was great. I wish someone had just bought the rights to that and actually done something with it. Like the idea behind Forspoken really worked. Mm-hmm. Just so poorly executed is nuts.
But then also it turns out that they've written off like 112 million pounds in games that were being developed, that we don't know anything about any of these games, what they were or anything, but apparently they've just written it off.
James didn't listen to the show last week, did he?
What?
But he did, no.
No, this is, no, this is, I know, but this is also in connection with this story. This is why I was mentioning it again, sure.
Okay.
It's, to give a bit more context, you know, to the
story. Well, if the audience didn't listen last week, that's their problem. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
This is kind of what I was referring to earlier. You would have to think that Square Enix looked at how much they received to be an exclusive game for the PS5 and how much they could have potentially earned elsewhere and thought, well, fuck this, actually, we're not... And you can see that from a Sony perspective to say, well, we've got our big exclusives that push sales and drive sales of our console. Are our games? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Not like Final Fantasy Rebirth or whatever. So maybe we are going to pay less for those exclusives from third-party companies. Or they just think, we don't need them. Like, we've got our own insanely decent, highly rated exclusives, and we don't have to pay a ridiculous amount of money to make sure they're not released elsewhere. Mm. We can just... have them on our system because we own them. It's you wonder how this is the big gap between Microsoft and Sony. That is the sort of effect we're going to see on the industry that we didn't really contemplate until we're here now. I'm just thinking, what the fuck?
I suppose, what's strange about this? I mean, I guess they're talking about PC as well, but yeah, part of you thinks, well, how much difference would it make if you put it on Xbox? Because obviously none of these games are coming to Switch, right?
Exactly.
But that's the thing. Exactly. Switch or Switch 2 has got to be the thing.
Well, Switch 2, I suppose.
There's no way that Switch could run these games. Yeah. So yeah, maybe Switch 2, but Switch 2 is going to have to be... Again, you were asking Nintendo to do something they haven't done for years and years. Mm. They've not innovated in terms of technology. They have, like, the Switch is innovative, you know, and it's interesting, and the Wii was innovative. They've not been pushing the boundaries of what's, possible with video games consoles in terms of power and what game. And Square Enix, if they are looking to go fully multi-platform, they're going to have to use that as their base and then port to other consoles. Mm. And I don't know how well that'll do. Like, part of the appeal of these Final Fantasy games is how fucking good looking they are. Because they are. Even I'm not a fan of them, but you look at them and you go, wow, holy shit, that looks great. Mm. They're not going to do that if they develop for Nintendo consoles in the, you know, as their base.
It could mean more cloud games potentially on Switch, you know, because that's something
that never took off.
I was going to say, we don't really know if that's worked or not, do we? Because there's been plenty of examples of it, but no one's really spoken up about, like, yeah, this was totally worth it or whatever.
They're always experimenting, weren't they? To see if it worked, how it could work, what it could learn. Maybe that'll be a part of the future console, who knows? But
I was a bit disappointed they didn't mention anything about crypto. You know,
yeah,
that was
be
the other thing that they were going on about
now, doesn't it?
Yeah, thanks. That's not happening. But then also, like, just before
what was the other one?
Oh, NFT.
NFTs. That was it. That was it. Cryptos and NFTs. Fucking hell.
But then the other thing that happened just before we were, you know, about to start recording was that there's also, it seems there's going to be layoffs at Square Enix in Europe. That's coming. So, yeah, apparently their publishing IT and indie label are going to be affected by that. So
yeah, people are going to hear this week. So, yeah, shit. Not good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next story is that Nintendo have kind of announced that there's going to say something about the Switch 2 at some point.
Some point between now and
2025.
And
March,
yeah.
Yeah.
A weird announcement, wasn't it?
So they're not, definitely, they've said they're not showing anything at the June showcase. There's not going to be anything at that for the Switch 2.
Sean said, that's confirmation that the June showcase is going to be shit then, isn't it? And you could not be more right.
It's going to be not great, is it? But it's never going to plumb the depths of that at the end of the Wii U. It's never going to be that bad, though.
Wasn't it?
That was might have a 25-minute special on a new Smash character.
This past year has been fucking shit.
No. We haven't had, like, Nintendo Directs where they had literally one game that they talked about for, like, 30 minutes.
Games of the I suppose Mario Wonder sort of helped.
Mm.
But, I mean, then you go, what else?
They've got Thousand Year Door, like, coming soon, which obviously is a remake, but it is one of the best games they've ever made. So it's like, that is a thing. Mm-hmm. So
that Luigi's Mansion remake is one of the biggest slap in the faces I've ever seen from Nintendo. Like, you look at it and you just go, oh my God, you've put the 3DS game literally on the Switch and done nothing to it.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
As an aside, this isn't in the news, which is fair enough, but it's worth a brief mention. Have you seen this N64 stuff? So basically someone's made a program that will, like, generate a standalone PC port of, they reckon, any N64 game.
I did see VGC post about this.
Well, a lot of places have posted about it, which means it's probably got about 3 days before Nintendo kill it. But it's fucking impressive. It's really interesting. Worth a look.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I love the way this is announced. This is Furukawa.
Such a bad boy. You're such a bad boy.
You are. Might take up smoking.
There's the episode title. Bad boy. Please write that down.
So they say, yeah, I love the style. This is Furukawa, president of Nintendo. It's like, what is it? Could be anyone at Everton. We don't know.
I looked at the tweet and went, what? Do you know what I mean? Like, I looked at the tweet and just went, what? Is this real? And then I come home from work and Joe went, oh, Harry's saying Nintendo's talking about the Switch 2. And I went, they are, Joe. They are. it was the weirdest announcement of all time, wasn't it? And I think we'll hold off until we actually know more details, right?
No. Let's talk about it. So, I think that they were still announced this year. I know they say, like, they're not going to say anything until potentially up to the end of, like, March 31st next year. But, I mean, I know there was, like, a 2-year gap, wasn't there, between Switch and Switch. And the Switch being announced and Switch coming out, there's, like, a 2-year gap.
Was it that long?
Could they have done it where could we announce, like, September and come out in March, so the anniversary of the Switch?
2 years, sure, that's insane.
Wasn't it?
2 years, was that?
Because I'm sure they were saying the other day about 2015.
The announcement showed the hardware, like, working and
everything. I think they announced that they were making a console, but I don't think I mean, you may be right, Matt, in that maybe they'll show the console towards the end of this year.
And now in March.
Oh, I think they will, yeah.
And then
I
comes
think they
out
will for
you know,
a March release.
Yeah, then March, maybe something next
like
year.
That. But in some people take it literally, like, the fact that, like, they will make their announcement about a successor within this fiscal year. And I'm like, well, yeah, but they can also announce it and release it in this fiscal year, you know.
It's funny, like, I don't know if any of you are the same, like, with everything else that's going on. And don't get me wrong, there's loads of reasons to be cheerful as far as video games are concerned. But part of me was like, oh, yeah, Nintendo, thank fuck. They'll do something in the next 12 months and everything will seem all right again for a bit.
Mm.
It's just...
It is exciting. New Switch hardware. But, I'm hoping. And announce this year out next year, like early next year, but we'll see.
So, the final story I've got is about Ghost of Tsushima's director's cut because they're okay. So Sony, no, Steam, isn't it, have started to give auto refunds to people who have bought it in areas where you legally can't sign up for PSN.
So there's a couple of interesting wrinkles to this. One of them being that when the stuff was going down with Helldivers last week, Helldivers 2, the Ghost of Tsushima Twitter account was like, "Hey, you don't need PSN ID to play this. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I think you do for the online stuff, but like if you're playing campaign only, don't need PSN
ID. For single player, you don't need it." Yeah. Is the thing.
And then, so then two things happened. One, so obviously, we reported last week that the Helldivers requirement for the PSN ID was they rolled back on it. They said they weren't going to do it, but they did pull that game from sale in all the countries where you can't get a PSN ID. And now they're doing the same with Ghost of Tsushima, the PC version.
The Helldivers news wasn't really as well reported. It was brilliant. They've totally changed their mind. But actually, no, you can't now buy Helldivers in 177 countries.
Well, everyone Microsoft by that point, hadn't they? Yeah. So Sony was like, ha-ha, I'm going to get away with this now.
It's such a mess, though, isn't it?
It's very strange.
I don't know, this looked like an example to me of like how sometimes it does feel like companies don't know what they're doing. We think, they make these like how... If you're releasing something like this on PC, why has there not been more research done on, like, how to do this?
Yeah, because PC players will not put up with this shit. Like, if you buy a console, you accept that you're part of this one ecosystem and you just kind of got to do what they say, and that's no point trying to contest that. Whereas PC players, and I'm not saying PC players, they're better because they'll resist it. No, who cares? But they will not take
it. None of us like PC players. Ooh.
I mean that's it. But I did have a kind of a fantasy zone.
Oh my god!
But
kind of a fantasy zone.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of related to stuff we've been talking about.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Should I play
let's
the thing?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yes, please.
Go. Oh my god, look at Dave. He's
my god.
Oh, you're going to be sick, mate.
Doesn't travel well.
Oh god.
We made it. God, largely here. In one piece.
The final Fallout fantasy zone. James.
I mean, the problem here is that what I've got is a bit it's a bit obvious.
Are you saying it didn't warrant the journey, James? Are you saying Dave's been sick for 16 hours on a plane for what?
It almost certainly was not worth the journey. But, okay, so the thing is apparently Game Pass is getting a pricing structure increase with new tiers, but also there's going to be a free ad-supported one. So there you go.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Because I forgot to mention...
It means we play a game, and 10 minutes in, it'll say, do you like Doritos?
I do, to be fair.
On the episode that I wasn't on recently, James made a point where he turned around and went, I can't believe it. I looked at how much I was paying for Disney Plus, and it was 15 quid.
No, 50.
And I was like, huh?
50, that was... No. What do you mean? 15 quid?
No, like monthly, it was like 15 quid a month or something.
No, because I play it yearly. No, yearly.
Yes.
All right, okay. But I looked at it and I was like, holy shit, I'm paying nearly that for mine. Because I somehow was at the ultimate tier with HDR and 4K.
Yeah, they did that to everybody and it was really annoying.
All this sort of shit. And I'm like, why am I paying that? And I look, so now I've just put it on the ad one and it's absolutely fine. It's like £4.50 a month or whatever.
See, I did this with Netflix as well. It's completely worth it. It works well.
Right. So like I was like, oh my god, but that just rarely has an advert before a film. I don't even think it does it for TV shows. It's just films. It'll put an advert at the front. It's not that long.
I paid for the, so you know with Prime you have to pay for like the £3 add-on to get rid of adverts.
Right.
So I paid for that just because
money bags.
Like I was watching Fallout and then it's just like in the middle of a scene, it's just poof, advert.
No,
I was like, oh
really?
Fuck this. Yeah. Not having that.
Oh, maybe we already pay for that then. But I just don't know how you do that on a games console. So calling bullshit
on
that.
It's been tried before, hasn't it?
I mean, do you reckon?
Because haven't EA been making comments about putting ads in games again as well?
Not the last week.
Oh, yeah. That's a billboard,
but they
yeah.
do ads in games, as in like billboards in games and stuff, yeah. right? But I'm assuming Microsoft, it's going to be you watch an ad before the game launches or something.
Mm. Well, you might just stop and pause the game until an ad pops up. Do you remember that old the Kinect pattern?
Do you remember just chucking that out there, right, Matt?
Yeah, well, I mean, how else would I do it? That's nothing. It.
Games I mean, game. I love the fact they're like, oh, yeah, so you know we've made this big leap in technology, so there's no loading times anymore. Well.
Yeah, we're replacing that. It used to be tooltips, now it's...
And just have that little pop-up at the yeah. bottom with the advert on it that goes down after a little while. You're
like, it used to be tooltips, now it's adverts for Screwfix.
Yeah.
Because they're tools.
Because it's tools.
Exactly, yeah. yeah. Do you remember that old Kinect pattern?
We got it.
Do you remember that old pattern for Kinect where the picture was someone shouting McDonald's?
McDonald's! Oh, yeah.
They're doing that.
Maybe it's that.
They're doing that.
Okay, that might be the shittiest Farley's fantasy zone
of
all time.
It wasn't very good, yeah.
It's not really a fantasy, is it? It's just something awful.
Bleak. Yeah. Bleak as
fuck. I can see it happening. But increasing
the price? We
need
a different trailer for Farley's Nightmare Zone. Can you do the jingle for that? James,
no.
okay, the pattern might have been so, actually Moomin Biscuit, yeah. But anyway, someone did a pattern for McDonald's and it was really bad. Increasing the price probably that's, not a good time to do it, is it?
Yeah, that's nailed on though.
I think probably not.
Sentiment is not running high at the moment.
I mean, everything else is going up. Like, yes, not a surprise, but probably wouldn't do it now, mate. I don't know. Probably leave it a bit.
All right, let's get to what you've been playing. Let's move away from that stinky. Stinky feature that James has planted on the show.
Well, the news.
News yeah. was well done this week, James. It was really well done.
Thank you.
It was really well done, but it's just mostly horrible news.
Yeah, no, it's horrible, but shouldn't have done the Farley's Fantasy Zone.
That should be the Final Fantasy Zone, actually.
It's not really worth the 20 seconds it's going to take for me to add the jingle to the show's
Should we get to Animal Well? Because that's what we've been playing this week, more than anything else. James is fuming, aren't you, about this game?
What? No, I'm not.
Oh, it's the indie darling. It's the indie darling. You fucking hate the indie darling, don't you?
No.
It's not isometric.
let me get this right. Suddenly, because you like this one, you like the indie gut darling. Is this the way it's going?
I just like good games, David. I don't know what
if it's one game in a year, that's fine, is it? James, yeah.
Hades not a good game?
No, he's fine.
Death's not a good game.
Just,
you know,
fine.
No crafting in Animal Well, yeah.
Absolute scum. Animal Well is a... I mean, it's confusing because it's been described as a Metroidvania, but all of the stipulations that James put in place at the end of last year about what makes a Metroidvania, this does none of it.
What were those?
You know,
totally
you're not finding rockets...
What?
Not the combat and go back and listen to the arguments where you were going, Illusion Island is definitely not a Metroidvania. You can't go into little pockets and upgrade yourself. And I was like, what is that? Is that a stipulation? Harry does that. It fucking kills me.
When you sort of because you say idiotic things. It's why people do that to you, David.
I'm just repeating the idiotic things that you said, James.
Yeah. It's just
okay.
No, because
it totally is a Metroidvania. It's just a very non-conventional.
Yes,
way, right?
I agree that it's a Metroidvania, and so is Illusion Island. It's a Metroidvania where it sort of, I mean, I guess it doesn't do anything particularly new. It's got very dated-looking graphics, and it's about exploring different areas, and it's mainly. Either, basically, you come across a screen, there's not much combat, and you're either working on an environmental puzzle within a single screen, or there's a sort of challenging platforming section. That's about it, right?
Or there's like a chain of sort of puzzles between a number of like rooms or whatever, because that happens as well sometimes.
Yeah, but then that's a little bit later. I mean, its original, the way it sets its stall out is that each puzzle is within a certain screen. And really, even where you've got those combined puzzles, right, like sort of the moving platform one with the things on the wheels and stuff, it's still the main part of the puzzle is in that screen, right?
Yeah.
And you're going, okay, it's very rare that you have to go somewhere else to like activate something in that puzzle. But it is in this game. That stuff is in this game. Let's just start. I mean, has anyone completed it amongst us? Because it's not a long game.
Not yet.
Oh, isn't it?
I've got the four flames and I'm in the quote, last bit. Right. But everyone on Twitter can't help themselves. They're like, oh, you've seen credits, have you?
I've seen credits, but I know that there's more after this. But then I'm not sure if I'm going to do it yet because I don't feel like it at the moment.
Well, see, because the thing that I'd heard... So this is one of these games, the first time I heard about it, everyone was raving about it on Twitter, like the usual sort of gaming journalists.
The usual suspects.
This is the one, actually. Yeah, no, it's like, this is the one. This is what, and in fact, actually, that's not fair to say. Like, I know Matthew Castle was raving about it, and Matthew Castle isn't one to sort of just go, this is great, and this is great, and this is great. You know, he like it. When he really bats for a game, you sort of sit up and take notice.
Red Steel.
And that was the first... Sorry?
Exactly.
Said Red Steel. Sorry, that's the oldest joke in games media. Sorry, Matthew.
It still works.
but like, I didn't know what I was going to think about this because I heard it was a Metroidvania, and although I've played a few of those and enjoyed them, there was a reason why I didn't play the game that you were talking about last week, the crazy
Ultros.
Yeah, Ultros, right. There was a reason that I didn't play that because it came out off the back of... Prince of Persia's and the Lost Crown, because that was a good Metroidvania game, but you know, it's long and some of it's frustrating. Animal Well is just so good at what it sets out to do that you can't help but love it. Like, there's so much of it where I'm like, I feel that I'm playing the game wrong, which is usually my point where I go, fuck this, I'm not playing anymore. It's not being clear enough what it's asking, because it's not. It's a game that's based on mystery, and you're trying to work out the world around you. You're trying to work out the puzzles. You're trying to work out the goals that you're working towards. Like, nothing's spelled out.
I mean,
for
even
you.
Like the opening cutscenes, like, there's four flames, they disappear. You're like, okay, well, I guess that's the game.
You're a blob that's hatched out of a flower.
You see literally the four flames, they fly off, and okay, well, that's it, I guess.
You don't know what you're controlling, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. Or where to go. And what I've found as I've played it is that I've gone somewhere and gone, oh, I can't, it's a Metroidvania, isn't it? I can't continue. And then I've fucked off somewhere else. And then I've gone back to where I went and went, oh, actually, I think maybe I can do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how true this is, but the way the structure of the game is, it feels like actually you can do each of these areas in any order you want. But the more of the items you pick up, the easier those areas
Absolutely,
are.
Absolutely, yeah. Because
so, like, the first area you do is really tough, and then actually you're like, oh, I can...
And then it
like,
starts to speed up a bit, yeah.
Because I did one... Right, okay. So, just to explain some of the power-ups you get. I know, sorry, James, I'll come back to you. So, for example, you've got, like, a bubble, which helps you jump up to things, and you've got a yo-yo, which help you can float, fling the yo-yo, and it like, hits stuff. And I was using a combination of the bubble and stuff, and there were some switches on a roof. And I just thought, oh, I'll just use my yo-yo to just, like, hit them. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you must be able to do this without the yo-yo. You've just got to be really good at setting the bubbles up and then, like, jumping across.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
I'm pretty
the
sure,
sort of vibe
like,
I'm getting from it.
I think, yeah, because each bit of the... The map's essentially split into four quarters, right? That's a simplification.
Yeah.
But, and I think each one of those is sort of tied to one item, which you get in that area.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, depending on the others you've picked up, you can have more creative solutions to it.
Kind of what happens because like once I'd beaten, like once I got two of the flames after that, when I went back to the other areas that I'd already started, sort of, I'd already explored quite a bit, but I kind of got stuck. I just found it became a breeze. Like, it became really easy to get through those areas with the new items that I had. It was like no problem at all. But then also, I think that's partly because, you know, like the game has like completely has its own sort of like internal logic system where once you really understand how it works, it becomes a lot simpler. Like, you can much more quickly start to solve puzzles because they become a lot more sort of obvious. And I love that. Like, I think it is like,
and it's one of those games, isn't it, where it's like, I'm not a speedrunner, right? I don't have that in me at all.
Yeah.
But this is the sort of game that makes me think about like movement tech and how the items can be used and stuff.
Totally.
It's great.
I've been,
really sort
I've
of
been doing some platforming
that
sections and cutting bits out because I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to see this being like a speedrun of this. People are going to fly through this game, you know, in like 18 minutes or whatever.
I also love that, like, so you're this little blob, and obviously per the title, there are animals, right, dotted around. And if you, you know, you're giving the elevator pitch for this game, the temptation would be to say, oh, and there's animals that are the bad guys, right? But that's not always the case. And it's not like, I mean, and some of them are out to get you, but there's no malice in it. It's just like, well, this is an animal that would go nuts if it saw a little blob moving around.
I don't know, the cat, man. There's some malice in that thing.
The floating one.
It's a dog, isn't it?
Is it a dog?
It's a dog.
Yeah, or it's like a fox.
It's a dog.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I've only seen it once. I was like,
no, but again, that's because you fucked with the shrine, right? Sort of on you.
How are you handling all the chasing in it, Matt?
I've only played like an hour and a bit. I haven't had much chasing. Apart from that big floppy cat dog thing. But apart from that, fine, really. Yeah, you're not so.
What about it? Have you not met the ostrich yet? I mean, it doesn't chase you, but that's the creepiest thing I've seen.
No,
in the
not
game
seen the ostrich.
Oh, that, yeah.
I did like
when you're underneath it.
I did like whatever animal it was, where it basically follows you, so you can use it as a little platform, which I thought, okay, well, if I didn't have the bubble at this section, then, you know, I guess.
Say that again.
Well, what I saw is animal where basically kind of wherever you go, it follows you, and you can essentially use it as another platform to get up to other places.
So,
if I didn't have the bubble, that would enable me to get to certain places, I guess.
Right. See, because that's funny, because... so you were using the bubble on that bit.
But there was a room where I saw that creature. There's a chest with a key, and I...
Are you talking about the hamster or the birds?
No, I'm talking about the hamster.
Oh, right. Okay. Because this is what's great about this game is that it feels like people could talk about the game and I'm 3 hours in and they could be an hour in and they could be talking about something that I've not seen
yet. Yeah, we've gone a totally different direction.
Well,
one thing I found funny is, so I went to this one and it's near the right-hand side of the map, but maybe I haven't gone all the way, and I saw that hamster with a chest and a key in it. But a couple of screens before that, there was like a puzzle involving a switch and I unlocked the switch and this, I think it was a fox or something, ran off to the right-hand side. And I was like, I wonder if that fox has now killed the squirrel or whatever that thing was. And I ran back, but no, that wasn't the case. I was like, that fox ran off. I was like, okay, well, I need to follow where it went because it may have attacked the hamster, whatever that
it's
creature is.
It's very mechanical, this game, isn't it? You can.
I just thought it may have like, set up a chain of
walking
events.
Walking off the screen and then walking back in and everything resets and all that sort of stuff.
Pretty much, I've got one complaint.
Interesting.
Just that there's some really tricky platforming / puzzle bits in this, and sometimes it's, you know, sort of there'll be sections where it's like, right, I've worked out what the puzzle is, but now I need to execute it very quickly in order for it to actually work. And those bits are really cool, don't get me wrong. But there are plenty where you can die quite easily.
On spikes or in water. Yeah.
And then And then there can be genuinely like a good couple of minutes of setup to get back to where you were from the save point.
Yes, I've had a few moments from that.
And that's one bit really frustrating.
There's one bit in particular that, because I was texting Sean about this over the weekend while we were playing it. And this was like another part where I was just like, just fuck this. Like this is really this bit was really, but then it does that thing whereby once I'd figured it out and I'd managed to nail it, I was like, actually that was quite easy, and I was just being rubbish.
But it's just some of it just seems so. As an example, to people who haven't played it, spoiler free, obviously. So there's a bit where you're in this one room and you figure out like a series of like using the bubble thing to like jump up and stuff, and you're like, oh right, and then there's a switch up here, I can hit that switch. You hit the switch and it opens up a section of the wall, right? And you're like, cool. I'm going to progress through there. And then you do that, and then you work out some other stuff, and then you hit another switch when you're down in this next section to then progress even further. But then if you die, you go back to the first room and you've shut yourself off and you've got to do the little series of jumps to hit the first switch again. It's like, no, this isn't fun anymore. I worked that out once. And it's not that fun to do. It's just wasting my time.
Most of the stuff with the bubbles is not... That was the low point for me.
Yeah, the bubble stuff is tough. Yeah. It took me a while to realise that the bubbles don't have a time limit on them.
No.
Like, I thought that they do float up.
So obviously there's a point where you're not going to be able to jump on them, right? So you mean while you stood on them, sorry?
Yeah, while you stood on them, They only pop when you jump off them. Matt, what are you talking about? You can't die to the water. What are you talking about?
I'm sure being in the water and it's not taking health off me.
No, it just spawned you back on the last solid.
That's my major complaint, Sean. I don't know if you had the same thing. If you jump in the water, it respawns you back to the platform, and then there's like this animation. The amount of times like I'm like, swirl. I've just tried to jump straight away again because my character's appeared back where it was. But then I've gone, oh, what's going on? And then I've moved them off again, and they've just fallen back in the water. And I'm like,
yeah, because like unresponsive for a second.
Yeah, unresponsive for like half a second or whatever.
Can we talk about...
But overall, minor complaints.
Oh, yeah, very minor complaints, yeah. The game's fucking excellent, right? We're all loving it.
I mean, can we talk about the audio as well? Because it sounds incredible.
It's so good.
There's parts
of it. There's not a lot of it, right? Yeah, there's basically
the only thing
no
that's
music.
Annoying is those fucking cats in the cage kill me. I'm like shut up, man.
But that sounds really annoying. You know, like at the water, like you know, with the water, like
at the water.
Yeah. You're like at the water. You're right.
Sorry, go on. Yeah. Like the water. Yeah.
You know like how it like ricochets or stuff, and the sound that makes it just sounds so good.
The echoing and shit.
Yeah. I generally thought like, oh, this is like a little sort of electroplankton nod. That bit, I thought.
That's why everyone's been talking about electroplankton this week. There's a few people mentioning it. What's the what are we all playing it on?
Playing on Switch.
I've been playing it on Steam Deck.
Steam Deck. Yeah, Switch. Yeah,
I want Switch because I want to play portable, basically. Or TV.
Yeah,
it's on PS Plus, whatever tier, isn't it?
Yeah. See, I played it on
Matt's
PS5.
On PS Plus, though, is he?
I played it on that because it was like free in inverted commas on that. And then
is that on the top tier, medium tier?
I think it's on the extra one, which is maybe the medium one.
Yeah, the medium one. I did the same thing. I nearly bought it on Switch because I wanted to play it handheld. And then I was like, do I really want to play it on the portal, or do I just want available wherever I go?
Because I know the latency on the portal is really good, but actually some of the platforming in this, I can
it
see
is
that.
It's unnoticeable.
Yeah, actually,
really?
I played it mostly on portal.
Mad.
And it was brilliant.
Yeah, if there was ever a perfect case for hashtag perfect for portal, that fucking screen makes it look incredible. And oh my God, that fucking thing. We text each other... James and I are like pigs in shit when it comes to the portal, because that fucking stupid handheld should never exist.
But it's brilliant.
And me and James are like, oh my God, this is the greatest fucking thing ever. Yeah. Like, I love that thing so much, right? And that screen is genuinely like incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, I love how it feels. I love how it looks. And playing this thing on that with the D-pad and everything, because my biggest complaint about that portal is the small analog sticks, right? But on the D-pad and everything, it just feels like perfect. But one question I did have, Matt, on the Switch version, have you noticed any slowdown? Because on the look of it, you'd think, oh no, surely this isn't going to cause any. But there are moments where there's some really impressive visual effects that happen, and I think
Because even though it's like super low res pixel art, yeah, like some of the lighting and stuff is really beautiful, isn't
there's
it?
Lots
of
directional lighting,
and reflections, in the water.
Whenever you blow stuff up, it's like, whoa!
Oh, the firecrackers look great.
I absolutely love the firecrackers in this. It's like also, this will sound terrible, but you know, like when in the dog area, I just love chucking them across, and the dogs all go crazy.
It does sound terrible.
I thought you'd love that. Sure,
it's pretty bad. Actually, didn't even cross my mind.
I've noticed, but yeah, I mean, a couple of hours in, maybe that changes. But no, I think it's a really gorgeous looking game. You said earlier, like dated graphics. I mean, yeah, it's kind of pixely graphics, but I think what they do with like gradients of colours looks really nice. It's, you know, very neon. It looks lovely. I think. I mean, it feels very. I mean, it's kind of Boss Baby, I guess, vibes, but it reminds me a bit of Celeste. I mean, it just does the style of graphics. Yeah. Like, you know, the platforming is not as tight, but it just gives me memories of Celeste really again.
Matt, go on.
I was going to say, like, do you get on the Switch, how's the haptic feedback? Because that is something that is also pretty good on the PS5 version.
Really.
It's like, did you notice that, David? Like, there's a lot, it does it a lot. Like, there's a lot of, like, little subtle, like, sort of vibrations.
It's like every time
stuff.
You land, isn't it, from a jump
There's a
little boom.
Yeah, there's a lot of haptic feedback stuff.
If there is some, I've been playing with a Pro Controller, and then that one out of battery, and then, like, the two Joy-Con in the plastic cradle, and I haven't noticed it much.
I would say that what I was mentioning earlier about like what people were saying about it, a lot of people saying, oh, it's really like, you know, Fez I get so much feeling of Fez from it. And I was playing it and going, now, I like Fez at the start, and then it just got too complicated for me. And I was like, nope. But I'm assuming then those people are talking about post-credit stuff.
Possibly. I guess, yeah, because they're talking about... So, I mean, this isn't a spoiler. There are hidden eggs throughout the world, and you'll some of them are quite easy to find. Some
There's
of them are incredibly
them.
Yeah, they're good. They're satisfying.
I've been really enjoying digging around for those. So I don't know if there's... I don't know how far that goes or how interesting that gets.
But my point is this, is that Fez really turned me off when... like part of the main game got way too confusing for me, and I was like, okay, fair play for the people that can work this out, I can't. And I find no enjoyment in going, right, God, just Google what I'm supposed to do next, right? It sort of kills the vibe of the game for me. And when I was chatting to John about this in the week, I was like, I am getting no Fez vibes from this at all. Like, maybe early Fez, you know, where you're going, that's clever, that's cool, that's interesting.
You can turn the world around.
Yeah. whereas, like, it feels like here that it hasn't got to that level. And if they back-end all that stuff, then I'm all for it, you know?
Yeah.
But making it part of the main game, I'm kind of like, actually, I don't really want to invest myself in this world. Only for it to go, ha ha, now you're not intelligent enough for it. And I'm going, whereas actually it feels just at the right level.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, if you know, you know. There's a subtle thing. So you see kind of like animals in the background, kind of, you know, kind of, you can't quite see them fully. So I'm trying to work out what that's about. Obviously there are animals very much in the foreground and or trying to chase you, but yeah.
Feels like nothing's there by accident, right?
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, totally.
Was it? I can't remember if it was Dave or James I was talking to about. There's occasionally this like cuckoo sound effect. Yeah. And you're just like, that means something. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a thing. That's no way they would just throw that in randomly.
Shit, so, man. I'm excited to play more. I will definitely, you know, at least see credits. It's one of those games that comes out of nowhere and makes you go, shit.
I don't know. We've been flagging this up for a while. It's been a few expos.
The thing is that this is the first game from Donkey's publishing label. I think, like, obviously a lot of people just laughed at the fact when they said they're going to start a publishing label. And
what's quite weird,
people know him just from YouTube. And I think the quote was like, we're going to sign bangers. And if this is the first one, then they've done all right for themselves. Yep. We'll see where else they're going to go. Yeah, it's like VG Donkey on YouTube.
VG Donkeys.
Donkey. D-U-N-K-E-Y.
There's a fun... the reveal video for this was basically the dev standing in front of a lake, sort of being intentionally awkward and talking about it. And then you just see Donkey sort of trying to like walk on some stones in the lake behind him and sort of falling in. And it's just like, as an idea for a video, that is basically nothing, but I'm laughing. So
yeah, I haven't seen this stuff for a while, but I used to quite enjoy his videos. I mean...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, as you say, he's picked a winner.
Yeah, it's a strong start.
But it was strange when he announced he was doing it and everyone was like, the YouTuber thinks he can be a publisher,
exactly.
Does he?
And he brings out one of the best games of the year.
But it's, you know, this stuff's a bit random anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait to play more of this.
It's
perfect for Paul.
I will say, if anyone's sort of put off, because from the trailers you might think, is it a bit spooky? Kind of, not really. It's a bit oppressive, but then like mechanically it's so interesting that
it's not scary at all, really. It's just it does some weird things. The scariest thing is the ostrich thing, but then
the kangaroo's pretty weird.
I've not met the kangaroo yet.
There's a kangaroo, but it's never like
giraffe.
The penalty for dying is always like, okay, I'm a bit further back, whatever.
Exactly. Right, Animal World then. I mean, I'll have more opinions on that when I've finished it and on to all the weird stuff that happens after it, by the sounds of it. Sean, another game that came out. Well, right, we're going to talk about Hades 2. Sean's going to talk about Hades 2. I saw everyone talking about it, and I thought, I don't want to go anywhere near that game till it's finished.
So I thought the same thing, Dave.
Early access, is it? Early access.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. Did you see the news about the Rogue Prince of Persia?
Yes.
No.
So basically that was due out, was it this week? They just put out a statement. They're just like, man, everyone's playing Hades 2. We're just going to give it a few weeks.
Okay.
It's fair enough, right?
Because
the game's occupied sort of similar territory. And So yeah, Hades 2 is out in early access on Steam. I think it's just on Steam, right?
Yeah, just Steam so far, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this time you're playing as Melinoe, who is another daughter of Hades. But it's set like a few decades on, I think, from Hades 1, which obviously sounds like a lot to us, but from the point of view of a immortal god, it's fuck all. So but basically Hades has been taken over by Kronos, who's the one of the is he one of the titans. I think he's a titan. And yeah, so basically Melinoe was sort of born and then was like whisked out of Hades as it was being invaded, and she's now been raised to one day go back to Hades and batter Kronos. And initially it's all very familiar.
Nice. So you're breaking in, you're going, it's the opposite.
Yeah, you're breaking
love
back in.
Love that.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, God, yeah. I love that.
And it's like, in one sense, it's very familiar, right? It's the same sort of thing. The art style's still beautiful. Like, music's still cool. What I will say is, obviously, yeah, so this is early access. I'm going to do what I did with Hades 1. I'm going to put about 2 to 3 hours into it. And then be like, yep, cool, see you in a year when the full version's out, right? But yeah, it's fucking great, obviously. There's one thing I was a little bit thrown off by initially is there's more like resources now, right? So there's like extra things to be aware of. You've got a little garden and you're planting stuff and that's generating resources for things. There's like these sort of tarot cards that you unlock. They give you extra abilities. But so there's like a resource for unlocking those, but then there's also a resource for unlocking the ability to equip more of those. So you know how in Hades 1, you'd be playing through it, and then at the end of every area, you get a choice of two doorways, and one will be like one of the gods' power-ups, and another one will be like the nectar or whatever, right? It'd be like a resource.
Yeah.
It now feels like there's way more resources, and you're not getting powers as often. That might not be the case. I'd have to check, but it feels like, because there are more resources in that sort of pool of things that might be in the next room. Do you know what I mean?
I wonder if that was like a thing at the start of Hades. Like, remember, you're remembering Hades from,
well,
the end of Hades, and yeah, and maybe it was like that at the start where it was.
Well, because that's the other thing that's weird, right? Is starting this game, it's like, oh my god, Milanoe's made of fucking wet paper. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm just like, you die so easily. So it's weird sort of remembering, like, no, there's going to be an amazing, like, power curve to this, and this is going to be great. It's, yeah, like, it seems like it's quicker to unlock new weapons in this one. I feel like with Hades 1, it, like, took a long time to unlock the weapons. Like, you were really supposed to familiarize yourself with each one, whereas, as I say, I've only spent sort of 2-3 hours on it, and I've got two weapons unlocked, and I'm very close to getting a third. So that was interesting. The characters, it's weird, like the atmosphere is different in this, because you know in Hades 1 it was like every time you died you were going back home, right? And it was all your mates were hanging out, and yeah, your dad, who was a prick. Whereas in this it's like you're in this little camp of people who are like, well, we all got booted out of Hades, this is shit, we hate it. Like, everyone's pretty dour, which feels weird. But again, I'm sure that will change, right? Ben in the chat saying, are they sexy again? Yes. Have you seen all the stuff about Aphrodite?
No.
The fucking, you know, there's nerds on the internet.
I've heard about that.
Go on.
They're just like, oh, she's got like a slightly masculine face. And it's, oh, for Christ's sake, man. There's a massive naked woman on your telly. What do you want?
Yeah, I've got to see Aphrodite in Hades 2 now.
Yeah.
A slightly masculine face.
Apparently, yeah.
That's
nerds on the internet for you. So yeah, it's great. And as I say, see you in a year. Really looking forward to getting properly in. Like, I wish I could play more of it now. It's definitely more complete than like when Hades 1 launched in early access. But apparently, like, the end of the story isn't there. So, like, all the stuff leading up to it feels good.
Yeah, I don't want to. Like, exactly. I know that game's going to be fucking great. I don't need to do my research to see if I want to get into it.
Exactly. I was just curious. And I was like, for 25 quid, like, it's not going to go down in price, right? Until it actually comes out. So I was like, may as well get it now and have a go.
I think I had like 100,000 concurrents, like, on the weekend it came out. So it's done incredibly well.
Yeah.
How much own, but I've got no interest in playing that unfinished. I want to play the fucking full thing when it's out. Yeah. I have so many good memories of sitting at my desk.
Cool story.
Like, because during lockdown, right? We were all working from home when that game came out.
God, yeah, that was
it. Was it 2020?
Well, I don't know if it was 2020. Well, yeah, maybe it might have been one of the shitter lockdowns. Oh, no, it must have been because we moved in 2020 and I was in my Masonette. When I played this, so it must have been 2020. What a fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
Game of the year, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm. When is this coming? 80s. Do we know? Like, what the... Is there any...
I think 1.0 is like not until next year, right?
Mm.
It'll be a while.
I'll wait until it comes out.
And there'll be people who've bought it in early access, and they'll, like, every time there's an update, they'll be like, oh, brilliant, I want to play more of it.
But
to me, that's a guaranteed recipe for being fed up of it by the time the game's actually finished, so... Mm. No thanks.
Cool. All right. James, you've got a few down because you've not been here for 7 years.
Yeah. I mean, I've got... There's just a couple of quick ones because they're things I've finished like recently. I mean, I finished Stellar Blade, which we talked about before, and ended up really loving it. I mean, I thought it was brilliant. Like, the combat systems are brilliant. Couldn't care less about the story. It's awful. Absolutely awful, and characters are terrible. But I ended up enjoying the world, and
When the cutscene happened, would you literally just skip through it, or would you watch it but not care?
You can't.
There's no need to call him that.
A lot of them you can't skip. You can't skip a lot of stuff, actually, which is quite irritating. And also, it has this really weird thing with the, you know, like with skipping text, whereby, okay, in most games, you press X and it skips the text. In this, it kind of sometimes does. Like, but then you have to like press it again, and it's just very strange.
Well,
like,
no, because sometimes, if it's text like scrolling, you press it once to show all text, and then press it again to skip it.
Not with this, no. This is a bit different. It's odd.
Different in Harold Halibut as well, where you press X and it skips the text, but then it just fast forwards the animation, so the text goes away, and it's like. And then gets to the next bit. It's really weird.
But I mean, it's strange because this, like, playing this has made me think maybe I should. Played Bayonetta 3, maybe, like, because I've heard it was quite good, and this was excellent. Like, I was not had no expectation with this game at all, but ended up really having a really good time with it.
What do you do with games like this? Do you whack it down to easy?
Yes, with this one, absolutely. I put this down. I put this down to like an easy
mode. You're mainly into it for like the visual spectacle.
Yes.
And...
It's the visual spectacle and also the fact that I enjoy the combat systems, but to the point where I feel like I can experiment and try different stuff without being continuously punished. That's what I enjoy about it. And it's
I totally feel that. Like, that's where I'm getting with my life as well now, where I think the default's not to knock it down to being easy. Like, if I find it that it's a game that is trying to be challenging and that's part of it.
Mm.
Then I'm quite happy to play it at that level. But if there's a game where I'm like, I'm enjoying the combat, but it's taking too long to get the same result, I will just knock it down to easy because what's the fucking point, you know? But I don't know. I like Stellar Blade looks pretty cool. It's not something that I'm going to rush out and buy.
It's one of those, like when we talked about it, you know, like if it's on PlayStation Plus or whatever, like definitely try it. Because although it does take a while to get going, it's enjoyable.
Just can't play with kids in the lounge, David.
No, that's true. It's although perfect for Portal. So then the other thing I played was I finished Rise of the Ronin as well. While last week, and this was also thoroughly enjoyable, but far too long. And it was one of those things where every time you went, like, he keeps opening new areas and you're just like, are you kidding me? Like, you open something and it's just like another sea, like map, you know, with like a sea of icons like all over it. And you're just like, this is ridiculous. But I did the same thing as I did with Ghost of Tsushima, where I ended up just like obsessively like unlocking everything because I was just enjoying like just
traveling around, you know, around the world. And I mean, I never felt at any point that I'd mastered the systems in this game at all. Like, I was mostly just like button bashing and just using the same move over and over again. But for some reason, I really enjoyed that. And it does feel like a game where you could probably spend hundreds of hours on this. Like, you really could. Like, there's so many things to do it. But I mean, one of the things that I definitely complain about is that it would have been better if there had been more diversity in the mission structure, because everything in this game ends in a fight. Like, every single mission that you play in this ends up with you having to stab people.
That's video
like,
games for you there, James.
It's not, though, but that's the thing, because that's where like stuff like the Like a Dragon series is like really good, because it doesn't always end up in a brawl. Like, sometimes there are other, you know, like ways to like, you know, to resolve stories and stuff, and it's just...
Yeah, I know, but a lot of those games you're just walking about and getting attacked, though, right?
Yeah, but the side missions still have diversity, yeah. And there's other things that you do in those. It's not just fighting, whereas this really is like you end up just slicing everyone up, and it's fun. Like, it really is. So don't get me wrong, it's very, very fun.
Was the story any good overall?
Yes, that is one aspect also that did keep me playing, because it really does do a very good job of showing like the, you know, the different motivations from the different sides during, you know, during this conflict. And because obviously this is, you know, Japan opening up to the rest of the world, and you know, you've got the people that are trying to, you know, get rid of all the foreigners. You've got people that are like saying, you know, we should, you know, use their technology and all this kind of stuff. And they do a very good job of sort of demonstrating that, you know, even sort of like no character in this, I'd say, is like utterly villainous. Like, there are motivations and reasons for what they're doing that felt, you know, that felt pretty well realized, I thought, in this. But also, that's the other thing. There are so many characters in this game. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, the number of, like, you know, people that you meet, and like, it's, and every single one's got like, this massive, like, sort of biography of, like, you know, who they are. And it's interesting. Like, it is very, very interesting, but it just starts to feel a bit overwhelming at points. And you know, when you get to the point with some games where you're just like, I feel quite done with this now. And, you know, I feel like this is coming to a nice conclusion. And it's like, no, you've got about another 15 hours to go, you know, because there's another area to open up. Or no, let's take you back to somewhere you've already been and make you do the stuff that you did before again. You know, like, and it does stuff like that. But overall, it's still good. It was still enjoyable, I think.
Cool.
So how many hours did you put into it then?
About 50 hours.
Okay,
fine. Yeah, it's a long game. It's
when
a long
do
game.
You get the time? Oh yeah, you don't show up for podcast.
Yeah, it's true.
He's been really ill.
I was signed off sick, so I, you know, so I played Rise of the Ronin.
She was sleeping, James, still playing computer
healing
games.
Properties.
Yeah.
You tell a doctor and the police.
Yeah.
You broke your sick note. Right.
The only other thing I played was I played over the weekend Not For Broadcast again, which is something that I streamed a while ago. Like, it's on PSVR 2. I played it. And I wanted to go back to this because I enjoyed the premise a lot. It's the game whereby...
It's the premise, isn't it? That's what sells this game.
Yeah.
Like, it's the premise. Sounds amazing.
Of, like, this idea of, like, you know, you're watching these, like, TV broadcasts and you have to, like, decide whether you're going to censor them or not. And this, like, impacts the world and, like, how things develop. And I went back and it's another game where I felt this is probably a bit too long, because it's about 8 or 9 hours long. Probably could have been half that, I think, really, and it would have been probably a more satisfying game, because there's a lot of filler in this. Like, there's a lot of sort of like filler video, which I know they're trying to like build the world or whatever, but some of them, like, there's a lot of like sort of comedy sections that you're supposed to like, you know, and like amateur dramatic bits that are like not very good. Like, I would say, you know, like to the point where I know that they're like doing it as a joke, but it also, you know, like when you, like if you do like amateur dramatics and it's like, yeah, this is supposed to be rubbish, and it's like, I know it's supposed to be rubbish and that's the joke, but it is also rubbish and not very interesting
to
watch.
And that's been done so many times.
So there's a fair bit of that. But one of the things that I really liked about this, because it's got like 26 endings or something. I was happy with the one that I got. Yeah, because I'm just like, I don't think I'm ever going to play through all of these.
You didn't want to replay 25 other times to it.
Probably not, no. But it does a very good job, or at least the playthrough I had, of, like, it avoids, like, this sort of dichotomy between, like, free and not free societies. Like, it does sort of look at different, you know, that from different angles and different perspectives. And rather than it being sort of like, you are fighting for freedom, you know, like, you know, we need to overthrow the oppressors. It's like, you can see, you know, different aspects of those arguments. And I really think it was great. It's an interesting look at censorship, or at least the concept of censorship and freedom. I just think you could do something with this, with much more sort of like, with
more sort of real world sheen without the comedy aspects, and it could be really quite something quite interesting, like sort of sociologically. But I don't know, I don't think that's probably going to happen. But it's great. It's very good. I'd give it a look if you have PSVR or Quest, because I'm sure it's on that as well. It's good.
Isn't it just, it's available in a non-VR form as well,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. That probably
wasn't
be
it,
fine.
Weren't they like, it was initially being developed as a VR game, and then they were like, oh no, it's not working. So then they made it a flat screen game, but then it did well enough that like, okay, we can afford to develop the VR. There's some weird sort of roller coaster to it like that, I think. But it's
nice to play in VR as well, because it's like you could just sit there. And you're sitting at a desk, and then you could just
sit there with a normal flat screen game as well. Though
it's true, but you feel
less not slag off VR. I think VR is a great medium for games, and I think actually more people should play it.
Yeah, be dead in a couple of years.
The future.
Do you know what I need to play? I've got that Astra Mat.
Astra Bot. Yeah. Finally,
no, the
Astra Mat.
Actually, the mixed reality one for Quest.
The experience more than the game. Yeah.
It sounds really cool. Keep meaning to actually play the fucking thing, but
yeah. Also, what you can now watch up to 8K 360 videos on YouTube.
Yes, I've been doing that.
NASA did one the other day about what it's like to go into a black hole. So that looks like might be worth having a look at.
I just did one where it was just like a very expensive camera walking through New Orleans.
It was
very cool. But yeah.
You could do that on the Wii U. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
And you held the Wii U pad up, and you were on an elephant.
Yeah,
you're looking
around.
It's like
really that. And do you remember? Wasn't it someone from Nintendo was like, "Oh, you know, it's like it's a really useful thing for like people who can't necessarily afford to go to other countries." And it's like,
it's also really awful because everyone you looked at through this controller, they were looking right at you, going.
Well,
like,
that's the weird, yeah. Because when
you're smiling, you're going, oh, look,
yeah.
You know.
Well, imagine that in VR, Dave. Because obviously, because some guy's walking through the streets of New Orleans with obviously a massive, very expensive camera, so everyone's just like, "Whoa, fucking hell, who's this?" So yeah, just getting pointed and leered.
It's like that portal thing between Dublin and New York at the moment. That was a good idea.
Yeah, that's going to cause an incident, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just on the VR front, there's a game called Mannequin, which might work as a stream, not sure. It's like a 2v3 social kind of VR multiplayer game where two or three of you are going into this like place to try and work out who on the opposing team are like pretending to be mannequins. So the opposition you can go in and you can move wherever you want, and you like press a button and you're locked into place, and there's loads of mannequins in this like space station. And it's people who like try and, yeah, it looks really good. That's currently on early access on App Lab on MetaQuest.
You can't do that because I haven't got a headset that works anymore, have I? Ah.
It's only £500, Dave. What's wrong with you?
That's what we've been playing this week. Should we do a few questions? Yeah. It's been a while.
We can do a few questions. I genuinely didn't think we'd have time with all the Microsoft shit. I thought we'd be too busy being angry.
We can go back if you want.
Yeah, should we carry on?
Probably something we didn't say. About Phil.
If you would like to contact us, go to tcgs.co/deartcgs. Phil Wall says, question, do you think Sony will mention the PlayStation Portal at their June showcase?
Absolutely not.
There's nothing to say, is there?
No, it's out.
No, there will be an image. They won't mention it, but there will be an image where it shows the PS5, the earbuds, the PS Portal.
Yeah, PSVR 2 maybe.
Show the PSVR 2 on it. You know, look at that. Yeah. You know. The weirdest fucking thing they've ever worked on. Yeah, I love it so much.
I'd love to know sales figures. I bet it's done quietly really well.
I'm seeing you in a couple of weeks, aren't I? I will bring it with me. You've got to see this.
Yeah, I saw the box the other day and I was quite excited about it, but no, I haven't seen the actual thing in real life yet.
Honestly, the screen, you'd be blown away.
As long as it doesn't make me want to buy one.
Well, you won't. You don't need one.
I can sit on my couch rather than look to my left to watch the TV. Or play in bed. You know.
Couch.
Sofa.
All right, next.
Alex 79 says,
I sit on my couch and watch a tube.
Do you not work? What do you call it? Do you call it a sofa?
Sofa, yeah.
I guess I always call it a couch.
It's not a settee.
Do you call it trash?
No, not a settee. Yeah, just couch.
Is it one of those things where there's actually technically a difference?
Probably.
Well, probably. And I remember when my parents said, oh, we've ordered a new three-piece suite.
Yeah, yeah. I think my parents probably said that. But yeah, I guess they say couch. Suite. So I say couch.
So, am I right? A three-piece suite is a three-seater, two-seater, and a single-seater. Is that what a three-piece suite is?
Yeah, three and a two and an armchair. Yeah,
it
must be.
Oh, I thought it was like two armchairs and okay.
David, can I...
It's just three armchairs.
Just bought three
David,
chairs.
What was that thing that your dad did with the dancing that you like? Because you talked about it last week, and I've forgotten what it was, and it really made me laugh.
The saying.
Hey,
do the locomotion with me.
That's
yeah.
The last, yeah, do the locomotion with me. Yeah.
Hey, baby, do the locomotion with me. Yeah.
Just the idea of being like haunted by that for years.
We sat all the time, every Christmas at some point, someone would go, hey, baby, do the locomotion with me, yeah? Weird thing to say to someone. Yep.
Alex79 says, dear TCGS Co Elysium, in this week's show, Dave said that James is allergic to milk. I was wondering how someone with an allergy to milk manages such a chronic cheese addiction. Thanks for the show, Alex.
It is a problem. I mean, it's just it's very mild. It's just I get like spots and stuff, you know. But it's not that bad.
Yeah, they didn't believe me when I said it. You'd forgotten about it, I assume, Sean.
Well, I just why would you drink 2 liters of milk?
Because it tastes really good, Sean. That's why.
That's what Chen said. Why is he doing that? Didn't you win it as well, James?
Yeah, he did comfortably
win it
as well.
Annoying, really. I still want a rematch.
Sean, I was in pain.
Sean realised how stupid it was about halfway through, and then just didn't put the effort in. Matt tried to cheat by cutting his microphone.
No, I didn't put any effort in from the start. I think I sort of thought it'd be a tortoise in the hair situation. Where I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take my time, and it'd be funny. The other two will be being sick, and I'm just being really casual. And then
I'm not taking the piss, so. But you are saying it the right way, but I have not heard someone say tortoise for a long time.
Tortoise. Maria Mendieta says, dear TCGS, cool spot. In games, the turbo button can eliminate the annoying need to keep hammering the same button to make characters run or pick up a heap of items. What function would you give the turbo button if you could use it in your daily lives?
Keep Wank.
Terrific work. Would you though?
Next question.
There's no joy in it for you, is there? It's just a perfunctory, get it done, get out of the house.
Sean likes to put some candles on.
Yeah. Oils,
a bit
nice
of nuance,
music.
Mate.
Yeah, nice music. Vary the speed.
Yeah. Exactly.
No. Okay. No, not that, actually. I think that would ruin it. That would ruin take the romance
running,
out of the
right?
situation.
Exactly.
It'd be running.
Love
like,
yourself.
Like on Grand Theft Auto, where you just... Do you know what I mean? You run really fast everywhere. It'd be great.
I do wish that
you
I
get
could
knackered, though.
Turbo, like, yeah, getting dry
anyway.
After a shower.
Bigger part of
getting dry after a shower.
I love it, man. Are you kidding
what?
Me?
It's the worst.
You love drying
thing.
Off after a shower?
I hate it.
Actually, both of these are extreme. Like, one loves it, one hates it. I just, like, dry myself and move on.
I love the idea of having, like, a shower cubicle where it's like you have a shower and then it's also got, like, a massive hair dryer as well.
I bet so you love those things. You've been those things in centre parks where it's basically that. You walk in, you pay £2.
I'd love to turbo that shit.
It's what's that, 5 minutes a day?
You do what? You stand, what,
can we call this episode Turbo That Shit?
I also love those little things they have in centre parts where you put your trunks in them and then you press no, there's nothing better than just being like slightly damp out of the shower and running your hand through your hair.
Oh, sorry, shut up. That's disgusting.
Yeah, rub it in.
Oh,
how would you know? Those lovely air, like,
no,
conditioned glass. Lovely.
No.
Lovely, mate.
But yeah,
lovely.
I don't know. What's wrong with drying yourself after a shower? It's like, unless it's freezing.
It's just irritating. Fine. You know?
Oh, making well, this doesn't count, really, because how do you do this with a single, like, turbo button? But
well, let's just say, David, this isn't actually going to happen, so don't worry about it.
Can you speed something up? Yeah. What can you speed up? It'd be making the kids breakfast. I fucking does my nutting. Oh, I want toast, and you know, like, I can't just do 4 loads of toast because, and then, you know, butter them after once they've all popped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the ones you get to at the end, it's not going to melt, and you know it's not going to be as good. So
I like
so
that.
It's like, I have to, one at a time, and the kids and fucking does my night in.
It gets good when they get older, it's just like, go and do it yourself. And they do.
I do that to Harry, but yeah, then I feel bad because I'm doing Charlie's breakfast. Mm. Like, I don't feel like I can go, I'll do yours, Charlie, but...
Do you not get Harry to make Charlie's breakfast? Not a bad idea.
What have I done with my fucking life?
Yeah. What's happening
that
there?
That is such a good idea. Fuck.
I only know because I've got a friend who's, yeah, who's got two kids about the same age, and he's like, oh yeah, no, mornings are great because Sam just makes the other kids breakfast now. And I'm like, oh man, sounds amazing.
Yeah, I should be doing that shit.
My answer, Jenny, would be, so on Sundays, generally that's when I shave my head and then trim my beard. And it's fine, you know, I don't mind that, but it's like that. It's like you got to do all the cleanup, you got to clean up the floor, the hair. And it's like, it would be nice just to press the button and that's just all done, you know. That'd be much nicer.
Brush your
Can
teeth,
it be like
comb your hair, have an apple.
Can I have a turbo button for just doing my fucking job?
Yep.
But your job will be done fast, but I guess it'd be done as you would do it normally now, but just faster. So actually, yeah, why not?
And not for every bit of my job, just when there's a long, tedious process to get through.
I love the fact that Matt turned around to you and went, oh, I'm going to come up with a reason why that shit.
Well, no, I was thinking, it's like if you do anything fast, you're going to fuck up. But it's actually you're doing the same job the same way, just it is sped up.
Yeah, like if I dry myself really fast after having a shower, I'm not going to fuck
back
that
on
up.
The drying again. We're back on the drying again.
You are going to give us a burn, James.
Yeah,
we're back on the drying. Let's move
on.
Don't
dry anything too quick because it might come off.
Like,
I really don't want to have the image of James Farley drying himself with a Are you one of the ones that puts like a bit either side between your legs and then does that?
No one actually does that.
How long have you tried that?
David, it's going all over the place. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's how he dries the smelly bridge. Let's move on.
No.
Just telling you how it works.
You glad you sent that in, Maria? now this was a really interesting one. So there's a question and then there's a follow-up message to go with it. So this the question comes from Real Sad Boy. It says, I had a great time recently ranking our favourite Nintendo consoles based on personal enjoyment in anticipation of the Switch successor announcement. How would you guys rank them?
Holy shit.
Then 10 minutes later, we had another one from Nick G. He says, hey lads, you'll be receiving a question regarding favourite Nintendo consoles at some point this week. Please know that there is a hidden motive to prove that the Game Boy is not a console. Recently, I had a discussion with some mates, just a standard list your favourite Nintendo console chat. In my list, I included the Game Boy. The very first response was, the Game Boy is not a console, which blew my mind. Then followed a good hour of back and forth, which veered between a semantics argument and outright bullshit. Essentially, my mates claim that the Game Boy is not a console, it is a handheld. I maintain that it is, by definition, a console, handheld or not. They've sent the question to you guys to see if you mention the Game Boy in a list of consoles. That's it. 41, two kids, stressful job, and this is what I'm doing with my time. Thoughts on the console thing, not the use of my time, though feel free to chip in there too.
Real sad, but if you want to ask us a question, just ask it.
You don't have to trick us.
Nick G is absolutely bang on there to call you out. Sad, but just ask the question. Do you think the Game Boy is a console? Right. So, I don't know who I want to know first, because I've got a clear answer in my head. You've got to answer yes or no after I say your name.
Right.
The question. Is the Game Boy a console? Matt.
Yes.
He was muted.
Matt was on mute.
He's fucking muted.
James.
Yes.
Sean.
Yes.
Yes, of course it is. Of course it is.
It's a handheld console.
Yeah, it's just a handheld console. Yeah.
It's like a plugged-in one, but in for your hands.
What's the argument for it not being real sad, boy? Can you send in another message?
I can only assume they're arguing that a handheld is not a console. But then, what's the Switch?
A hybrid.
It's a console when it's in I don't know, man.
Yeah, they just say it's a handheld. It's not a console. A console plugs in to the wall and to the TV, and a handheld isn't that.
Okay, well, that's what there's the official...
that's what these people must think.
Put the world to rights every week.
Here over on the video. It reminds me of when we had that argument whether that bit in Stray was stealth or not. It's one of those stupid fucking arguments but that gets out of hand. Yeah, I know, but James was saying it wasn't. It was.
I said, no, I didn't say it wasn't. I said it was optional stealth.
That's not what you said on the stream at the time, though, was it, James? It's at optional the stream at the time, stealth. You went, it's not stealth. It's not stealth.
It's optional stealth.
Right, you
well, no, but it was geared as a stealth
days.
Section.
Yeah. He's no, he realises that he's wrong now, yeah, and he just tries to
silent.
Lie about what
it's
he actually said. That's
stealth.
What's great about.
He's going okay, silent sure. because of this, and also planning when he's like next off the show.
Is that it for the podcast? For now,
yeah, it sounds, yeah, it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like yeah. we're done.
So I just looked up the dictionary definition of console design. Just, you know, if there was like a definition prior to games console that might imply... Okay. No, it doesn't make any difference. A panel or unit accommodating a set of controls for electronic or mechanical equipment. Game Boy's a console.
Well, hang on, so is my... I was going to say VCR. It's not the 90s, but...
Your VCR that you have now.
Yeah, exactly. I guess, what, like the Virgin Box is a console then? By that definition?
Yeah. Cool, so now we've got to add that to the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't I ask that? Why didn't Real Sad Boy say, is my Virgin Box a console?
Oh, to be fair, they were only talking about Nintendo consoles. So that,
fine.
Okay. I do feel for Real Sad Boy, because you know when you get into a row with someone about something, and you're adamant that you're right, and then you go away and you realize, and you slowly get that realization that you were just wrong all along. Yeah. Yeah. Fucking hate being in that position. He's just like, oh, and I was so, and I really put my foot down and all. Oh no!
I quoted people and everything.
Congratulations, Nick G. Made them up. You can point and laugh at Real Sad Boy now. Yeah. Hope we've helped.
Real Sad Social Boy is going to be real sad.
Yeah, he's going to be real sad boy next week when he messages in.
Really sad boy. Proper sad boy.
It's like the really, really wild show. Just has to keep adding a really every so often. Just to, yeah.
Matt, socials.
Yes, no Sean stream on Thursday.
Sorry, I'm doing Kane and Rince, lads. I'm going to be famous.
Absolute scum. Their listenership has gone down.
Yeah, so Sean's doing a podcast for 7 listeners on Thursday. And then on Friday, James, you're streaming...
on Friday, James is on fucking Backpage Pod.
Yeah.
I might stream, I'm not sure yet, I haven't decided.
Sweet. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, if you want.
Good
you...
section, this.
Yeah, why do I fucking bother? Go to twitch.tv/TCGSCO or search TCGS on the Twitch app to see when we are streaming, if we are streaming at all. If you missed the streams live, you can go to our YouTube channel or search TCGS on YouTube and watch the VODs of the streams. Recently, actually, no, there's been nothing recent, but there's old streams on there. Just have a look. If you've got an Amazon account, a Twitch account, connect your two accounts, and you get one free sub every single month, why don't you go over to our channel on Twitch when we're not streaming, because we can't be fucked, and give us your free sub every month. We really, really appreciate it. Those that do. The Patreon is patreon.com/TCGS, where you can get exclusive podcasts. The bonus show will be out in next month, obviously, as will... hang on. To you, Timu.
No,
to me,
no.
For fuck's sake.
To me, Timu.
It's confusing because there's no you in it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really
I know,
good.
But I came up with a pun when I thought it is Timu to you, and it kind of, which felt and sounded nicer.
To me, Timu is fine.
But Timu, that's not how you say, you know, it's Timu, isn't it?
Timu.
To me, Timu.
Say it like that, then it still works.
Oh, to me, Timu. Anyway, we're doing that.
James, mate, honestly, you've not been here for fucking ages. Just put up with it for 5 seconds longer.
Yeah, sorry we're disrupting your holiday, James. This is a podcast we do every Monday. Anyway, we're doing that later in the month. I'm really excited and scared about that, but that'll be good fun. And the website's tcgs.co for links to our amazing Discord community, socials, podcasts, store for James Fire t-shirts and other stuff. And... everything else we got on offer.
Thank you so much for living it. We'll catch you next week. Hopefully James will be here two nights running. Holy shit.
It's mad, isn't it?
You know, it's
holy
like...
fuck.
Oh, it's like...
Are you back next week, James?
Yeah, I'll be here next week.
Well, never guaranteed.
It wasn't made committal.
June is looking a bit dicey, but we'll...
Oh,
we'll...
for fuck.
What do you mean?
It's June in 2 weeks, James.
What do you mean? What does that mean? Are you being serious?
Partially, but it's all right. It's all right.
No.
I'm
no,
not convinced.
Not. What's going on in June?
I can't. I'm not talking about it on the podcast. But yeah.
Why? Because oh my God. Take the piss out.
No, I think we know, David. Summer what? Game Fest is happening. James has been lined up as a host.
Wait, James. Is it 1 or 2 weeks you'll be missing in June?
No, I won't be missing. Tell me that. I shouldn't be. I don't know.
Are you going to miss changed? All the Summer Game Fest stuff?
No, I'm not.
I just... won't be missing. I shouldn't be. I don't know.
Can we talk about this not here, please?
We can do it here if you want, actually. I insist. They should all hear this. You explain to them listeners now, James, why you won't be here.
We will catch you next week for some more video game chit chat. Thanks for living it. We love you. Goodbye.